we have a violation. Okay, you will all suffer.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Thursday, April 1st, 2021. This is your award-winning Gimo Nation Media Assassination Episode 1334.
This is No Agenda.
Telling no lies and broadcasting live from Opportunity Zone 33 here in the frontier of Austin, Texas, capital of the Drone Star State. In the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where everything is peachy. The numbers are down. The weather is beautiful. I'm John C. Dvorak.
Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
Yeah, everything's peachy. Here we are. Here we are on the original fake news day.
There is no what?
This used to be the original fake news day. April 1st, April Fools.
Oh, April. Oh, yes. Right.
And I was thinking about that this morning, how this celebration is broken. And how perhaps it was used in the past, because I remember April Fools would typically mean something in the newspaper, or there was something on the news, or sure, you had people doing jokes on you, but the good ones, that was the media stuff.
And well, here's the I do have the clip from the Volkswagen foul up.
Do tell. What happened with them?
Oh, you didn't hear this one. This is April Fool's gaffe. This is an NPR report.
VW is planning to pivot entirely to making electric cars.
And then on Tuesday, the company made a surprising announcement. Volkswagen said it would officially change its name to Volkswagen.
Volts, V-O-L-T-S, as in electric.
Wait, they did that on Tuesday? What boneheads.
VW's announcement to change its iconic name made headlines, but only for a few hours.
Because that turned out not to be true. And ultimately, it was a silly joke, April Fool's prank.
That's reporter David Shepperson. He covers transportation for Reuters. And he says VW's joke of changing its name to Volkswagen did not quite land. The announcement, for some reason, came 2 days before April Fool's Day.
But VW's detailed press release made the company's name change seem real. Shepperson says reporters were duped. News publications had to issue corrections.
And again, we don't know exactly what happened, but we do know that the company was willing to let this intentionally misleading, fake news thing out there for really close to 2 days.
Oh, you see, that's exactly what I'm talking about. First of all, stupid Germans. Second, though, the media. We make the April Fool's jokes.
Deutschlanders.
Yeah, we make the April Fool's jokes around here, you Deutschlanders. You don't get to do that. This was fake news. And that makes me think, has April Fool's Day been used for decades as a way for the media to say, look, this is what really stupid fake news looks like because all the rest is real?
Oh, I don't know if that's true, but the point is that I think you made it right away, which is in the internet era, the April Fool's doesn't work.
No, it's broken.
And it's totally broken. And the thing is, these old stories, I noticed this myself because I used to be an April Foolster when I was in print media. I always did a good April Fool's gag here or there. Mm-hmm. A lot of them got a lot of attention. One of them's in the hoax or the Practical Jokes Hall of Fame or whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that. Yes.
That was the drunk dragon on the information superhighway.
Oh, do tell. That's a classic.
Yes, that was I wrote a column and it was structured properly and it would run on April 1st, describing the fact that the Senate, in particular, the U.S. Senate, is so dumb.
Already good setup. Yeah. Yeah. Very good.
The setup's beautiful. They're so dumb about technology that they actually think that the internet is a information superhighway, which is the word that was used at the time that Al Gore had coined, and that people would get drunk and start
driving
stuff on the internet. And it was, there should be a, they've decided in their stupidity, when you want to play these, you play them in an opposite direction. They're so dumb that they actually thought that people would be, there should be a law against being drunk and using the internet. And it was, and then the way this, the column was structured was I was aghast by this. I was kind of a Rosanna, Rosanna, Dana kind of a style. Oh, my God, how stupid are these people? And it, you'd go on and on. And because I named names,
yeah,
namely Pat Leahy,
that made it more real.
They got a bunch of mail and calls. And they were, and Pat Leahy, I understand, was particularly annoyed.
Yeah. I actually caught for a second in one this morning from Pod News. Because they started, you know, you got to start off right, but even this was good. Surprise move from Apple Podcasts. Neither follow nor subscribe will be used in iOS 14.6. Now, this was earth-shattering news in the podcast industry, John, that Apple would be using follow instead of subscribe. And now they won't be using either. No, the next version of the popular mobile operating phone system, the Apple instead, listen to your telephone conversations, monitor your Facebook account. Okay, so by then I finally got it. But, you know, when you do a whole thing, like even I showed up after Mark Cuban announced that his new Clubhouse app will be podcasting 2.0. He has also agreed to fight Adam Curry live on ESPN next Thursday night for the branding rights. It's like, you know, that's not what it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, it was supposed to be really good and well, there was a structure to it. And you have documented this structure, and I don't know if we even need to go over it other than as a eulogy.
Well, it might as well be one because the way it
this
works
is it,
now
right?
is that these,
this is it.
And I think some of the last ones I did years late, you know, after the couple of these classics, including, by the way, the fact that one of my favorites, because it got in the newspaper, is I'd written that. This is during the era when Sioux City or Sioux Falls, one of the two in South Dakota, was where Gateway 2000 was.
Oh, right. The cow people. Was that the cow people?
Yeah. And they're outstanding in their field. And
yeah, exactly.
I wrote a column claiming that because of that, and I started by prefacing by all these naming rights that all these stadiums were using. And I was kind of condemning that. And I said that, and now it looks like they're trying to make attempts to change entire cities based on promotional fees.
Oh, wait, so they were going to do a cow city or something?
No. They were going to change Sioux Falls or Sioux City. I forget what it is, and that's in South Dakota. Something that in the troll room might know. They were going to change the name of the town to Gateway City.
Oh, right. Now I remember. Yeah.
And it was done very straight. I always have one kicker in there. Usually there's the spokesperson, someone usually named Lerpa Sloof, which is Lerpa's is April Fool spelled backwards.
I use that
a lot. You have to have one drop.
My goodness. I mean, you've got Lupa Slurf. You've got Mark Pugner. You've got some hot chick on
Lupa Slurf. So it actually got into the newspaper there, and it was above the fold at the top. I have a copy of it. We're not changing our name to Gateway City.
Nah, good one. Successful. Very good. Very good.
Yeah. But what happened later was that you'd do something, it was online, and it would appear on April 1st. But the problem with online is that it would show up like a year later in a Google search.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's fact. Of course.
As some sort of a true situation, because you couldn't pull them down. If you could pull these, put them up for one day and get rid of them, it'd be fine. But
wow.
So the system is broken. You can't do April Fools anymore.
No.
It makes a mess.
I did think
I don't even do one anymore.
It's always flattering to show up in an April Fool's joke, of course. Now just about, you know, we've looked at the great reset that's coming, which would be the great marketing reset. So I just want to take that into consideration with these next three short clips. This is very important, something we can all witness together. The mainstream media in the United States does not report on pharmaceutical issues without complete buy-in and or exchange of, you know, transfer, exchange of stuff like money. They don't report on it. They just do not. And certainly not negative. It's very uncommon. This is why we've had throughout the past year, zero pushback on anything the pharmaceutical industry or the biosecurity state has said, including anything Fauci or Birx or any of these people, because that's their bread and butter. That's big. Just look at the ads and you tell me what you see. So what we are witnessing now is Pfizer's marketing team shifting into high gear. We already saw the first takedown of AstraZeneca. And, of course, there's people dying from every single one of these vaccines. But the AstraZeneca, blood clots, blood clots, blood clots. Well, now we finally have the Johnson & Johnson on the way, ladies and gentlemen. No. Pfizer is not going to make you feel good about the J&J vaccine.
Well, Richard Terrell got the one dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine earlier on this month. Now, he suffered a severe rash that spread over his entire body and turned his skin red. Well, as doctors tell me, a reaction of this magnitude is extremely rare. We do want to warn you at home that some of these images may be considered graphic.
And they go into showing this guy's burnt to a crisp skin.
No,
that will story. That will make your stomach churn because
he's the Arch Obler for old timers out there. We know what we're talking about. The way it first came out was the skin came off.
Yeah, it peeled off. Yeah.
He's skinless now. Which is, again, goes back to some old radio shows from the 20s. This is where, you know, these horror shows, the skin came, he's inside out.
But it's so obvious, you know, to go to the length of showing these horrific pictures, and it was local news everywhere. So Pfizer had distributed this. Their team
it
had
was
gone
everywhere.
Out.
You're right.
And while we're there, why don't we at least let's throw something on top of that? They're incompetent boobs.
And Meg joins us now. So Meg, what are we learning about those spoiled Johnson & Johnson doses?
Nora, 15 million doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine were reportedly ruined by human error at one of their manufacturing partner plants. All future shipments have been stopped. Now, this could impact mass vaccination sites like this one in Newark, New Jersey, that just opened up today. They're expecting a Johnson & Johnson shipment in 6 weeks, Nora.
Oh, no, they're not going to want that anymore. No, they're mixed. They can't even make the mixture right, these idiots. Saturday Night Live. Slam it on home.
Don't believe in COVID. Still got the vaccine.
Pfizer, Moderna. I know you earn. Get one, but you gotta wait your turn. Now I get to the vax. I get what I want. So you get what's left, bitch.
Johnson & Johnson.
Come on. Come on. Across all the networks. Johnson & Johnson. No good. You're out. Beautiful work. Beautiful work, team. The team has done very, very, very well. And they threw in.
They're getting bonuses that they won't. Oh, yeah. They're all going to be having houses in Bermuda.
And they've now thrown in another bonus. Pfizer is testing freeze-dried COVID-19 vaccine that now doesn't need any cold storage at all. After the $2 billion investment the United States taxpayers made in the ultra-cold freezers, then we heard, well, you can kind of stick it kind of in the back, you know, behind the ice cream. And now it's just freeze-dried like your Sanka coffee. Please.
Wow. These guys are unbelievable.
They are out of control.
Or they're not, they're not letting up.
No, why would they?
No reason.
This is fun.
So I wanted to do another new segment or something for the show, and I've been trying to figure out how to work it in.
Okay, here it comes then.
Well, it's like it's called the Quick Look, and it's like on Thursday. I can only do it on Thursdays. Okay. On Thursdays, when I get up around 8 o'clock, when they do, I come out of their first big national breaks. I just want to take a quick look at what the three morning shows are showing.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have been doing this for a while, but I haven't done a report on it.
Okay.
I've done it just to make sure that there's something that didn't slip by me, because I produce all my stuff the night before.
Right,
so
I
wake up, next thing you know,
the world is on fire. Right.
It's like there's a war going on.
Hold on a second. Alert the affiliates. We've got to pull some extra clips.
So what we got, I'm going to just tell you what the three reports are going on, because these do have some indication of what these networks are up to.
Mm-hmm.
And I start with the Today Show.
Mm-hmm.
And the Today Show had a report on blacks getting vaccinated and how the preachers are getting making a big deal. They're going to come out, and all the black preachers are going to get vaccinated, and all these skeptical black old women, mostly. That's at least what they portray. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They're all okay. Well, the preacher, the pastor got his second shot. I waited for the second shot. She said, and once he didn't die, then I got mine. So that was, and it was a big report, and that was what they were doing on the Today Show. Mm-hmm. Then you go to Good Morning America, and Good Morning America was the debt load of the general public, highlighting two extremely gay Asian men. And the money they needed to borrow, I don't know why, but they needed to borrow $100,000 to adopt a child. And then there was a discussion of how to borrow money. Huh. And then last, the CBS CIA network, it was about, they were still hashing over the insurrection. And the connection there was, it turned out that in the insurrection, we haven't gotten this news, but there was something like, I don't know, 40% of the people who were arrested were in the army at some point in their life or something like that. They're retired.
Oh, really?
And so now the armed forces needs to be rid of these quote unquote the insurrectionists. And so the idea now is to go back into the Pentagon and get rid of all these terrible people that are in the army. That's kind of what it was about. I just thought it was very strange.
You used to do something like that. We even have jingles for it.
Support the show. Send your cash.
Like, that's not it.
You will obey.
No, that's not it. This one.
John C. Dvorak, 3x3.
Now it's time for 3x3. Experiment by JCD.
It's another experiment.
Comparing stories from ABC, CBS, and NBC. The never-ending 3x3.
There you go. We've done this. It's back, ladies and gentlemen. We even have the jingle package.
3x3 was specifically the news shows, the nightly news, and what you do is you go over, you compare all three. It was terrible to watch all three of them, by the way. I had to stop that.
I'm just saying, if you want to use 3x3, I think everybody's happy.
It's same things.
Yeah, same things. Good. The jingles work.
It's 3x3.
Think of the budget.
These are just spot checks. I like to call this the spot check.
3x3 spot check. Okay, there you go. 3x3 spot check. I'm sure a new jingle will show up.
I'll try to reintroduce. It's only on Thursdays.
Only Thursdays. First Thursday or the second Thursday?
The first Thursday. Okay. The first Thursday.
Back to the marketing. I love marketing. You and I love the marketing. That's what news is. Let's get back to the team.
Today, Pfizer reporting its vaccine is 100% effective at preventing symptomatic cases in children ages 12 and 15.
100% effective.
I saw this too. And it's like, you take a group of people that, I think it's documented, they almost can't get the disease.
Right, exactly. You take someone who can't get it, and then you say, look.
You can't get it.
Look, it works.
Give them a shot, and they say, hey, look.
ABC did
it's
a little.
Shameless. These guys, I'm telling you, I said it on the last show, they've got to back off.
No. They're cranking it up right now. This is time to crank.
And by the way, which is the rules, if you got a hot ticket, you take it to
the limit. You crank, you milk that
but
shit.
I'm thinking more as a human being, not as a marketing person.
Oh, please
stop.
Oh, please. No, you can't. ABC did it this way.
The CDC director warning that younger people are most at risk for death and long-term side effects from a new surge. That's because so many Americans over the age of 65 have already been vaccinated. Diane?
All right, we'll take the good news where we can find it. David Pilgrim, thank you.
What?
So here's the way they're trying to portray this.
This was great.
It's like a monster. It's like a monster movie. The monster sees, oh, these people are protected, so I'll have to go after these people.
Yeah.
The thing is floating around the air. It's going to attack who?
It's nocturnal.
It's not a monster.
It's nocturnal. It comes out at night. It used to come out at 9 in Rotterdam. Now it only comes out at 10. You see, they got an hour later of their curfew because the monster is afraid. We had two vaccine virus gaffes. One, surprisingly, came from our president. who corrected himself, caught himself. Very impressive.
And over 60% of the shots given at these sites goes to minority communities because they're in minority communities. We have to reach out. They're the ones most affected by the vaccine, by both the vaccine, but also by the pandemic.
So sweet. Well done. I'll bet he got a lollipop for that one. It didn't go so well for the chief medical officer in Queensland, where I think they have another 3-day circuit breaker lockdown because you'll love this. Hold on a second. We got something from our producer here. Here we go. 43% of medical staff are refusing to take the AstraZeneca vaccine, which is available there. This has resulted in 3 medical staff supposedly getting the highly infectious UK variant. At least that's what the government's telling us. Because of this, the government has implemented a circuit breaker lockdown of Brisbane for 3 days. And it's because of the unvaccinated doctors, those evil a-holes.
This is an old Nazi trick. If anyone kills one of us, we will kill 10 of you.
Wow. I hadn't even thought of it that way.
That's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, we have a violation. Okay, you will all suffer.
Damn, you're kind of creepily good at that. Huh? Don't give anyone, don't give John a riding crop in a leather hat. It's bad idea. So the Queensland chief medical officer, she didn't realize her gaffe. Or was it really a gaffe?
But we're almost through all of 1A. It's now 1B. 1B are our most critical people. So they are our older people, 70 years of age and older. We know they are just so vulnerable to getting ill and dying from this vaccine. It's people under that age. Adults, under that.
Woo! Is that a doozy?
That's the best one yet.
Is that a doozy or what?
That was just straight up.
And I'm not sure it's a gaffe. You know?
That is a beauty. I'm going to give you a borderline clip of the day, even though you didn't get that. Somebody sent it to you.
Now, of course, one of our Australian producers sent that to me. How else would I hear about that?
No, there's no way. No. It's just not. But it's definitely a winner. Definite winner. Wow.
So good. So good. Well, but there was a lot of fun stuff going on. Our brand new CDC director Walensky, she's the new spokeshole. It's all over. Get out of the way. She's the perfect person. Multiculti. She's got skills. She knows how to do it. She looks serious. She's just a better overall. She's fresh, fresh. Fauci is not fresh. So Fauci's over there doing his own CDC Zoom meetings, which I recorded some, of course, for later. While the CDC director, now she's out there, everybody, she is the star. And she did an appeal that just rocked the airwaves.
When I first started at CDC about 2 months ago, I made a promise to you. I would tell you the truth, even if it was not the news we wanted to hear. Now is one of those times when I have to share the truth and I have to hope and trust you will listen. I'm going to pause here. I'm going to lose the script and I'm going to reflect on the recurring feeling I have of impending doom.
Now, I want to stop here for a second. I'll pretend I didn't hear you crack the PBR early. Okay. So she says here, I'm going to lose the script. I watched this whole presentation she did. And her script was on her screen, and keeps looking down as she's talking. She's very good at it. She kind of gets line by line, and she then reads it into her camera, which she knows exactly how she's doing that. So she says she reads from her script. Go look at the video. She reads from her script. I'm going to get off the script now. And then throughout the next minute and a half, she continues to read from the script. So she's a liar. She is a liar.
She's a liar.
A liar.
Let's start there.
She's a liar. She stood there and bold-faced lied that she's getting off the script. It's very
she's
obvious.
Reading from the script. Yeah.
Yeah. She's reading.
It's obvious when you see it.
Yeah, it's obvious.
I'm going to pause here. I'm going to lose the script, and I'm going to reflect on the recurring feeling I have of impending doom.
Doom, John. Impending doom.
Impending doom.
Impending doom. This is the CDC director. Back to your monster theory. Doom. The monster's coming.
I have of impending doom. We have so much to look forward to, so much promise and potential of where we are and so much reason for hope. But right now I'm scared. I know what it's like as a physician to stand in that patient room, gowned, gloved, masked, shielded, and to be the last person to touch someone else's loved one because their loved one couldn't be there. I know what it's like when you're the physician, when you're the healthcare provider, and you're worried that you don't have the resources to take care of the patients in front of you. I know that feeling of nausea when you read the crisis standards of care and you wonder whether there are going to be enough ventilators to go around and who's going to make that choice.
I mean, come on, we're back to ventilators now? Seriously? There's no shortage of ventilators. There's no news of ventilators. Oh, who do I hand it out to? I know what it's like.
And I know what it's like to pull up to your hospital every day and see the extra morgue sitting outside.
Oh, bro, the extra morgue. The empty chair at the table. I killed grandma.
I didn't know at the time when it would stop. We didn't have the science to tell us. We were just scared. We have come such a long way. Three historic scientific breakthrough vaccines, and we are rolling them out so very fast. So I'm speaking today not necessarily as your CDC director, not only as your CDC director, but as a wife, as a mother, as a daughter, to ask you to just please hold on a little while.
Hold on, a little longer.
I so badly want to be done. I know you all so badly want to be done. We are just almost
terrible.
There.
Yeah, exactly. I clipped her. Now I don't even want to hear the rest of her.
She's terrible. She's a terrible person.
Yes, she's horrible. And it goes on like that. Meanwhile, some actual...
She shouldn't be doing this. This is not what we want from our leaders. This is really disgusting, this woman.
She's not a leader. She's hired by the people we hired. She's a subcontractor, the way I see it. Come on, leaders. She's not a leader.
Well, obviously, she's not a leader.
We got a report, anonymous, from one of our producers, current status in a hospital there in Oregon, with 14 Rona positive patients, likely based on PCR, so not dead. Here's the report. ICU is 89% capacity. Hospital, 79% capacity. Their 450-plus bed regional hospital. Our county is currently in high risk for Rona and mostly lockdown. Restaurants only allowed 25% capacity. 14 people in the hospital here. ICU was busy but never overwhelmed. Things have gone way down over the last month or two, but of course that's not acknowledged by the authorities. As you've talked about, the number of ICU beds are flexible. So those numbers... 89% is based on the 35 beds they have, but they can pop in another 10 anytime they want. And yes, the hospital administrator wants the hospital running at 95%. That's how you make money. They're still doing this, right? Yes. up to the CDC
They're still
director.
Misreporting it.
The CDC director is lying it. I know that's not proper grammar, but. And then she's
lying.
She's lying it. And then
you said,
yeah, I know,
you,
I know.
You took me down. What happened? I was shorted out.
So then she had to go on Maddow show to go and talk about, let's see, what did she say? What did she say? Oh, listen.
And we can kind of almost see the end. We're vaccinating so very fast. Our data from the CDC today suggests, that vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick, and that it's not just in the clinical trials, but it's also in real world data. And yet, on the other side, I'm watching the cases tick up. I'm watching us have increased numbers of hypertransmissible variants. I'm watching our travel numbers tick up.
Okay, so I have a very important clip coming next. And the way I see it is, she's out there, got a number of other people out there, all say, oh, now we're in the fourth wave, and it's because of spring break, and we have to lock down again. You'll see, you'll see, you'll see. Fauci over and over on his own little, wherever he can, he is with LL Cool J, is now doing interviews. Let me tell you something. I know LL Cool J quite well. LL Cool J is a very nice guy. He is a 100% corporate whore. For 30 years, he's been at MTV trying to do deals and hustle stuff. So he's hustling. And now he's got a radio show and he's hustling this. You know, oh, don't worry, I'll get black people vaccinated. You don't need no preacher. So they're trying to create an expectation of a crisis, a surge. They're comparing, oh, Texas is also going up a little bit, whatever. Maybe they can push it, I guess, with the faulty vaccines, because that's the main problem, is they don't seem to be working very well, or at least the news stories are not very good about some of them. That's a problem. We get to the summer. We know more people die during the summer, primarily because new hospital workers leave school and come into the force. It's a known fact. We talked about it last year. And then maybe we can push it to, I don't know, until fall, and then until we can mislabel flu as COVID. I mean, and here's a nurse. This showed up on Telegram, so I don't know where she's from. But it's a young woman in her car, and she sounds very authentic. I think this is a true story. If so, well, there you go.
I work for a large hospital system in Broward County, Florida, on the anesthesia team. Last night, the house nurse manager came to my department and told us that we must prepare for a COVID crisis that's going to start next week. And the hospital will be taking part of our recovery unit, anesthesia recovery unit, to house COVID patients. And that we cannot allow surgical patients' families to come visit them, which we do pre and post surgery, pre and post anesthesia. And I looked at her and I said, how do you know you're going to need our rooms, our bays? And how do you know there's going to be a crisis next week? She tilted down her glasses. She looked at me and she said, you know what's going on by now. And I said, yeah, I do. And everyone else just went, oh, here we go again, and shrugged their shoulders. Does anyone else find this really strange besides me? It's about time that this whole corrupted, stinking system is brought down. Seriously. Because I'm really hating my job right now. I can't stand this corruption anymore.
Now, I realize I don't know if this is a current clip. So I could be playing something that's old. But I'm sure it still holds true. Well, sorry?
It could be a year old. It could be 6 months old.
Yeah, it could be. You could play it anytime.
Last week.
You could play it anytime you want. And here's the timeline according to Fauci. Now, again, this is him on his little CDC Zoom call because he can't buy an appearance.
So we hope that within the next 5 or so months, we'll be able to answer the very important question about whether vaccinated people get infected asymptomatically, and if they do, do they transmit the infection to others?
So that's what
here we go again.
Yeah. No, not again.
Now we've got
it's a continuation.
Asymptomatic again, which means you're wandering around, you've got it, but you wouldn't know it in a million years.
You're vaccinated.
No symptoms whatsoever.
Wait, you're vaccinated. You had the shot. So that's why this is the whole ration of 5 or 6 more months of masks, people. Hello. Come on, losers. Buy in. 5 or 6 more months. That's the plan. Because, y'all, we don't know. And no other vaccine in the world has ever had this issue that I'm aware of. You get your shot. You know, you're free. I'm invincible. I feel great. It's a party. I'm ready to take on the world. I'm ready to go be amongst people. No. No. With this vaccine, you're still basically an infectious human resource dripping with COVID pus.
Or worse.
Yeah. We have a new term. Breakthrough. Breakthrough cases. I have not yet decoded this, but they're called breakthrough cases.
Tracking breakthrough COVID cases, more than 100 were identified in our state. These are people who were fully vaccinated and still got sick. And Kyra 7's Allison Grandy joins us live tonight. Allison, half of the people didn't have any symptoms at all.
And Dave, of those who did have symptoms, they had very mild cases of COVID, but still several people were hospitalized and 2 died. Doctors expected these breakthrough cases and say they are very rare. Here in Washington right now, they represent 0.01% of all of those fully vaccinated.
Uh-huh. I mean, so don't worry about it.
These numbers are bogus, by the way. Of course. People like Horowitz talked to me about what you told me a lot in the last show. He's got sick after he got the vaccination.
Oh, yeah.
102.
Yeah, he had fever for, I don't know if he's.
He had COVID again.
Pretty much. And his arm still hurts.
Yeah.
And
I'm hurting.
But here's his dilemma, because, you know, I love you, Andrew, but I understand, you know, your wife wants you to have it. So you got to go, man. That's just the way it is in a relationship. In a successful, happy marriage, you will do what she says, ultimately. But I think he's also bummed that if he doesn't get the next shot, which he's now anticipating will suck, and which could make him sick even without it being the vaccine, because otherwise he won't have the certification to go travel.
Which is illegal in Florida because the governor put the kibosh on any such.
No, I mean international. No, he's a cruise ship.
Yeah, he told me this on the show. He says, I might want to go to Morocco. What are you going to do in Morocco? You can't get a hotel.
See. Yeah. No, we understand. We understand. Okay.
But arguing is futile. Resistance is futile. This is dealing with the Borg.
And
the Pfizer marketing team is like dealing with the Borg. You will be assimilated. You can't win.
They're so good. They are so good. And this is where we see a new player on the field. And my goodness, we have so many now, but it's such a bonanza. Such a just money is raining everywhere. We go into the next phase, and this is without doubt the vaccine passport. And I've done some work on this because, you know, I think we pretty much predicted from day one this would be coming. This was it was always, you know, oh, microchips are going to be in the vaccine. No, you don't need anything sophisticated like that yet. We can just do it with help from our friends. And we need to position it properly first. As we know, the president, actually, let me play Psaki first because that's important. Jen Psaki, don't I have her here somewhere, came out and said, you know, whatever you think, we are not going to do government-mandated vaccine passports. But we are going to work with the partners to see how we can do with that. So the first thing we got to do is we need to have the mainstream media, ABC is a good one, to establish the necessity for this, and you got to do it in a little offhanded way and seed the market.
Eligibility for the vaccine is set to expand to all Americans 16 and older by May 1st. More than one third of all adults have now received at least one dose.
Not even April, and the shot is in my arm. It feels so great.
And as more venues start requiring so-called vaccination passports, the World Health Organization is warning about scammers trying to sell fake vaccination certificates online.
Okay, so we need to establish that this is a problem because you will not let vax free riders into your life. You took the vaccine. You're brave. You are a good, decent, patriotic citizen. You don't want some unpatriotic vax free rider. It's a new name for Republicans and religious people. you're not going to stand for that. So if they're also falsifying passports, we need a solution. And New York has already figured out the way to go with this. And they've created the Excelsior passport, which they haven't actually done. This is the IBM initiative.
Last Friday, New York became the first state to roll out a vaccine passport, which is basically a smartphone app that proves you've been vaccinated, something the Biden administration says they're helping develop standards for nationwide, Nora.
Okay, so that's kind of the
news.
Hold
on a second. Mm-hmm. That contradicts what they said.
Oh, yeah. Well, wait. Here's the full clip from CBS that may delve a little deeper into this.
Meanwhile, the Biden administration says it's not taking the lead on developing so-called vaccine passports or certificates, now in use in New York, China, and Europe. There's concern about Americans having access to the...
Okay, I'd just like to stop. That's a lie. That's a lie. There's no vaccine passport in Europe. It's a lie. They're talking about it. They have proposals for it. It's called the Green Passport. Same in the United Kingdom. It's not implemented yet. The only place where this is being implemented, to my knowledge, maybe China, but is Israel. So this is a lie. Why won't it just restart now, fucker?
Well, and Europe, by the way,
there's concern about America.
Wait.
Yeah.
It is a lie, but it's a lie with a purpose, which is what the media does. The purpose is to, is it's like a body blow. It's like the punch in the, okay, well, there's already going on anywhere else, so let's, so it's not a big deal that we're going to do it.
You know, I was thinking of that. It's the circular reporting. It's the same as having your agents on the ground, either directly writing for the Uganda Times or the Kenya Times. It's a total CIA trick. It's not all that novel. And the idea is you can refer and say, oh, well, you know, according to the Kenya Times, this is what's going down here. And of course, you can put that in the New York Times because, you know, it sounds credible. So what we're seeing is a new group that's come on the scene, the potential marketplace initially for testing and this type of passport stuff has been pegged at, I think, $20 billion, which is why IBM's in it. And by the way, it doesn't, and IBM may not be successful. In fact, none of this may be successful, especially when you know that Dr. Osterholm, who has been full of crap from day one, everything he has said has not come true, including the 2.5 million dead and the second wave and the third wave, and it's going to be like a tsunami. So when he said this, I felt a little better.
Now, for vaccine passports, we just heard in Ed's piece that they're controversial. Where do you stand on this?
Well, first of all, we're going to do something. The world is going to do something. People do want to know, if you're going to get on a plane, if you're going to go into a restaurant, if you're going to go into a public place, do I feel confident that the person sitting next to me is not likely infected with the virus? And so whether the governments want them or not, I am convinced that you're going to see them eventually be part of our everyday lives. So now what we need to do is figure out how to do it in safely, fairly, and effectively as we can. And so I think that the administration is doing a good job of at least laying out criteria for private sector companies. Remember, when I go to the airport today to get on a plane, if I do that, I get my eyeball screened by a private company that determines that I'm the one that is actually there to get on that plane. And I think you're going to see more private companies getting involved with the guidance of government, but I don't see government itself doing the passports.
So
who's doing eyeball screening?
That's the CLEAR system, which this doctor calls eyeball scanning. Okay, doc. Yeah, CLEAR. Yeah, they have other.
I know about CLEAR, but I don't know about the eyeball being scanned.
Well, that's why people are leaning into those CLEAR kiosks, because they're getting eyeball scanned. So what we're looking at here is big tech moving into the scene. Big tech has recognized not just the opportunity for what they already do great, which is putting more apps onto your devices to trap you, trick you, motivate you, whatever it is they want to do with their tricks. But it's even deeper. First, please enjoy yet another, oh my gosh, I'm waking up from my crazy ass life, from Naomi Wolf. I love watching her all of a sudden figure out that everything's been a scam.
I am not overstating this. I can't say it forcefully enough. This is literally the end of human liberty in the West if this plan unfolds as planned. Vaccine passport sounds like a fine thing if you don't understand what those platforms can do. I'm CEO of a tech company. I understand what this platform does. It's not about the vaccine. It's not about the virus. It's about your data. And once this rolls out, you don't have a choice about being part of the system. What people have to understand is that any other functionality can be loaded onto that platform with no problem at all. And what that means is it can be merged with your PayPal account, with your digital currency. Microsoft is already talking about merging it with payment plans. Your networks can be sucked up. It geolocates you everywhere you go. Your credit history can be included. All of your medical history can be included.
Oh, yeah. This is what's going on. And it goes a little bit further. And can't remember where I started listening. I mean, we probably started talking about what Amazon was thinking of doing in healthcare. Amazon has made some incredible moves. They want to take over prescriptions. They want to take over telemedicine. And they are very serious about it. And I think they have a good shot at it. And so I've found this, what she was just talking about, Microsoft. Okay, we found the source. It's a group called changehealthcare.com, complete Silicon Valley company. Big investors and big partners, wouldn't you know it? Adobe, Microsoft, Amazon. Ah, really?
The usual suspects.
Yeah. Experian. who's Tibco? What is Tibco? So there's your credit guys. There's your Silicon Valley guys. And Tibco. Oh, John, your favorite. Here, Change Healthcare and Tibco will bring blockchain-powered smart contracts to healthcare. Come on, man. This is what this is about. Let's listen to the video.
The vaccine passport includes both the individual's photo and a QR code that, when scanned, will present information confirming their vaccine status. From this home screen, the individual can save the passport app to their phone, share their vaccine status with others, access more information about their vaccination. To save the passport to a phone, the individual clicks the Add to Wallet button appearing on the home screen and follows the prompts. Now the passport is easily accessible anytime it's needed. Mm. By clicking the Details button, the individual can share information based on the CDC's COVID-19 vaccination record card, including vaccine type, date each dose was received, where it was administered, and, if applicable, when the next dose is due.
It's convenient.
Clicking the Share button allows individuals to instantly share their passport with whomever they choose.
Anybody.
Such as a doctor, work supervisor, or family members.
Additionally,
they can also share the passport with other apps, such as healthcare apps for Apple iOS and Android, and with ticketing and travel apps. By making it easy for individuals to verify and share their vaccination status, the vaccine passport can help facilitate a smooth return to work, school, and all the activities of daily living. For more information about our vaccine passport, contact us today.
So there you go. Integrated into your health apps and beautiful. So we can track. You know, yeah.
This is interesting. I think this stuff is all DOA because the society has changed just enough to not let it happen.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right for sure.
I hope I'm right too. I can't guarantee it. But this is interesting to me because when you go back to the early days of the, actually even pre-internet, it's the internet that I think produced the DOA element. Because pre-internet, I remember the discussion, especially during the era of the first smart cards, the chip on the credit card.
That was used
in Europe, but really we didn't use it here so much. And there's arguments about this, but I've documented that it's because the art companies didn't want to pay the rather exorbitant patent fees on the chip. And then after 25 years, it went into the public domain and now we're all using them.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember that era where they talked about, just think, you could have a chip that would have, for example, your driver's license would be on it, your passport information. So you could use it as it'd be a passport card and you just use that and it would have your passport information, your photo, your driver's license, all your credit information,
your
banking accounts,
allergies. It would have your health.
Everything would be on this thing. That would be fabulous because all you needed was this one card and it would just be you. And it was always seen as a positive thing back in the 80s.
This was also when Tom Selleck did commercials for AT&T called You Will, where he was sitting on the beach with some kind of, we didn't know it then, but it was an iPad. And he said, one day you will send an email from the beach. So we
vaguely remember that commercial.
Oh, yeah.
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 It was a lot of utopian thinking in the 80s before the internet came around. And the internet actually seemed to be part of this utopia. But in fact, it was more destructive. The internet has kind of screwed this up. I think. And I think that's why this is not going to work, because people are less clueless. But I remember it being the big deal. It's a positive idea. Wow, what a great idea. Yeah, everything would be on this one thing, and it's a card carrying your wallet. You get everything on there. You don't have to deal with all these different cards.
Right.
Because I remember people having like 10 or 20 credit cards in their wallet.
John, this was the same time that you're talking about here when we used to dial 1212 to find out what time it was. Do you remember that?
I think it was popcorn in our area.
Popcorn?
Yeah, that was the number you had to dial, popcorn.
Oh, no, I remember it, 1212. Yeah. And then you'd get, at the following tone, the time is 11:57.
Yes, there was a time PM. Function on the phone. This is true.
Yeah.
See, it's your girl. Hey, Bill, see what time it is.
Yeah, hold on. What time is it?
See what time it is.
I know. You'd be like, no, that's not right. Hold on. I'll call time. See, I told you, your watch is off.
Oh, yeah.
Good times, that's, baby.
That actually, what you just presented there was an actual moment.
Often.
In 80s history.
Often. Yeah. I think you're right. Christina and I were, she was texting me yesterday. She says, Dad, I'm reading 1984. Holy crap. What did Orwell smoke that he was so visionary that this would be exactly what we're going through right now? And I said, well, first of all, history. Second of all, said, you know, Orwell, he had the Ministry of Truth, which we have, it's clear. But for the 5%, I think we're 5%, you know, the no agenda nation is probably part of the 5% of people who have seen through it and reject the notion that the internet is YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's like, no. There's other things we can do with it. We have been leaders in that field for more than 13 years now, showing that you don't need the Silicon Valley infrastructure.
Podbean.
And once Podbean, who are owned by some conglomerate. I don't think they're independent anymore.
Yeah, too bad.
Yeah. They were good guys. Podbean. So, you know, hopefully people, and I've learned some of this myself with podcasting 2.0. You know, people are so used to, well, why doesn't this just work? So, well, you know, because we're doing like kind of crazy stuff here. We've just circumvented cancel culture and financial deplatforming. So give me a break. Man, you know, but it's like my neighbors who didn't know that you can light a gas stove when there's no electricity because the clickety-click-click thing can be replaced by a match.
Yes, I forget. I keep forgetting the stupidity.
Yeah, well, when you point it out to them, they feel pretty stupid themselves. But here's Silicon Valley with a hedge. You know, all right, so maybe that vaccine passport. Let's try this one.
Imagine that you wake up in the morning, go about your usual routine, and that routine includes taking a quick nose swab in your bathroom for COVID and getting a result right there.
Now listen to this.
What is the benefit of being able to test oneself at home?
Well, the answer is that this virus has been so difficult to get a handle on because it's stealth. People can spread it when they don't feel sick and they don't know they're infected. And that's why we've all been wearing masks and social distancing, because you don't know who might be sick.
Now, the way I see it, this is a great app. Hello, boss. I just tested myself. Can't come in, man. Got the COVIDs. It's perfect.
That's actually what you just described is another reality not noted by the people inventing these things, which is like, oh brother,
yeah,
what you did, what, yeah, I'm sick, man.
So I'm really
exactly
hoping
what would happen.
Yes,
productivity would fall through the floor. False positive, I guess. I don't know, I'm okay today.
Meanwhile, Employment Law Watch in California reports the following. This is regarding mandatory vaccinations. Employers implementing a mandatory COVID-19 vaccination policy must engage in an interactive process with an employee who seeks a reasonable accommodation from the policy. The DFEH stated that the FEHA requires employers to reasonably accommodate employees with known disabilities or a sincerely held, notice the language, sincerely held, what, you don't believe I'm a Pastafarian? Sincerely held religious belief that would prevent them from being vaccinated. Therefore, an employee who objects to vaccination on either ground must be reasonably accommodated unless the accommodation would impose an undue hardship on the employer. Whether a reasonable accommodation exists will be a fact and situation specific inquiry. In other words,
we had that donor. What was the? I don't remember the link now that had the religious angle.
So you can, if you can prove sincerity, it says sincerely held religious belief. So they're going to test you on your religious belief. This needs to be rejected, all of this. And I'm sorry to say it, but you've got to tell, some like businesses that do this. No, I'm not going to come back, and I'm going to tell you why. So, for instance, Tina went to the hairdresser. And what my hairdresser, we share the hairdresser. What she had not shared with me is that she'd been vaccinated. And she told Tina, the other day, one of my clients was vaccinated. I was vaccinated. So we both decided, we'll take our masks off. We're safe. We're invincible. And I'm thinking, if I go there next time and she makes me want to wear a mask because I've not been vaccinated, even though she is, I will have to tell her, I'm sorry. I will never come back here until you change that policy. This is what we have to do, because now it's down to the people, and the people in your life are tards. They got to wake up to some reality. Seriously.
Ugh. Well, I think your policy would be correct. I think it's fine to start doing that. I think it's time to say, look, I'm not putting up with this bullshit. If you want to just be that way, fine. I'm not going to do business here anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's offensive to me.
And your mom wears army boots.
Whatever you want to tell her.
That's my new. I'm waiting for Biden to say that, by the way.
Yeah. Full fiddlesticks. Never going to say
it. Your mom wears army boots.
Anyone ever say that is beyond me. I went to find. So he's going to say cool. I think he's already said cool. Is this these phrases from the 50s that the silent generation did? You have to remember, this is our only president that we've ever had in this. In this category.
Yeah.
It's from this category, silent generation.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's Biden. And you think it's like somebody had to fill it. We didn't buy this car in our collection. We have to buy one. And here's, well, this guy's so old. Okay, well, whatever. So we're stuck with him. And there's got to be some phraseologies from that era that he's going to drop into the mix.
Well, lion, two-faced dog, pony soldier would be one of them.
Yeah, but that was just so off the wall, and it was like, that's like Covfefe.
Yeah, right, like, right. Well, fiddlesticks is good, and I think when your mom wears army boots, he could let that one fly. But I have a quick three-parter, which I think is pressing, as in my mind, President Biden's clock is ticking. Probably got about 3 more weeks. I hope he stays in until we get back from vacation. Because that'll be just, oh my goodness.
And can you imagine? You go on vacation.
And Biden drops.
Biden drops.
I know.
Not good.
Well, we do an emergency something. Anyway.
No, we don't have to do anything.
So what we're seeing more and more apparent is something that is not typical, is the signage, the branding of the Biden-Harris administration. So it's not the Biden administration as it was the Trump administration. It wasn't the Trump-Pence administration. Maybe sometimes, but they never branded it as that duopoly administration. So there was a confrontation of Psaki about this, just to set it up.
The rebranding of the Biden administration to the Biden-Harris administration.
Rebranding?
Well, when you look on the website, it's Biden-Harris, and that's not been necessarily the norm of the past. Is there any message being sent by that, or what's meant to be, what can be extrapolated?
I would take from it that Vice President Harris is an important partner. She's the first in the room, the last in the room. On most occasions, if she's in town and not traveling around the country, it's a reflection of the important role that she will play moving forward.
Yes, important. Very important role that she will play moving forward. Of course, she will be our president eventually. I say quicker. But people are starting to notice some things about her. Some very troubling things. Now, first, I want to point out.
Wait, you're going off of COVID?
Yes, I'm done with COVID.
Oh, I had my COVID clips. You never
let me play. Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. I don't look at your clips.
No, but you look at the titles because you're always trying to line them up.
Oh, I see it here. You're right. I'm sorry. But I completely apologize. I did not mean to do that. Let's do your COVID clips. I was kind of done with COVID.
Yeah, I noticed. And you just rolled off me. You just steamrolled me onto the COVID.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just moving the show.
Well, let's see. Well, you got a little lucky because I'm looking at my clips here, and there's one clip which seems to be not what I hoped for.
Mm.
And this is the COVID killer variant.
Ooh. Okay. I told you I don't look at your clips.
So that one.
So I'm glad we stopped for that. Thanks. I'm very happy.
So there's that one. Now the...
You got me.
Now the other one is the COVID near records in Canada, I thought was good because I've been listening to CBC and they're nuts up there.
Yes.
It is becoming increasingly clear this coronavirus surge is not like earlier ones. Variants are driving more infections. Hospitals are again being pushed to the limit.
But as vaccines get to more and more Canadians, by one key measure, they do seem to be working. Now, if we look at daily new cases in Canada since the beginning of the second wave, March has been a bad month. But look at deaths per day. Even taking into account that they lag by a few weeks, cases keep going up, deaths keep going down. Experts think vaccinating the vulnerable is saving lives, but people are still getting very sick, especially in Ontario. This month, case rates there have doubled, while the number of patients in ICUs has surged to near record levels.
Wow, same cadence as MSNBC. Totally the same cadence.
But they kept showing that there's no deaths. Well, it's cases, and they got this surge, and everyone's talking about the fourth surge. I mean, give me a break.
Hey, you can't say surge. That's a militaristic term. AOC won't
actually,
let you
I've
use
got
it.
The surge. I've got that surge clip.
Yeah, hold on. I wanted to say something about Canada. It's not Buffalo. Canada, when I presented a memo on the show, which I always do, I said, hey, you never know. I'm just presenting it. I'm not saying I believe in it. It's sketchy. One time, we heard about the Hunter Biden laptop weeks before it happened. And I'm pretty sure we had a memo which outlined exactly what's taking place with these COVID hotels. Remember? They were building rooms and camps, and it was all being set up. And no, that's crazy talk.
Yeah, that's crazy. I was promoting this nut. It's nuts. It's nuts.
What was that guy who had the note? He had the note. Randy Hillier, was that it? Yes, Randy Hillier. No, I think I was playing that.
In my supplemental question yesterday, I asked this government if the people of Ontario should prepare for internment camps. In September, the federal government posted a call for expressions of interest for contractors to supply, provide, and manage quarantine isolation camps throughout every province and every territory in Canada. These quarantine isolation camps, however, are not limited people with COVID, but provide a wide latitude for many people to be detained. Surely this government is aware of the intentions to build.
So I'm not gonna play the whole thing again, but it's like I told to shut up. And that was, when did we play that? Hold on a second. I love our records. That was October 15th, 2020. And here we are. Now they have actual internment camps. If you have a positive test upon return, citizen of the country, don't go to your own home. No, off to the camp you go. Come on, Canada.
Well, and we also had, there was a guy that everyone's seen this clip. This is the guy who went through and they said, well, you got to do this. You got to do this. I'm not doing anything. I'm a Canadian citizen. Refused to go along.
But that was before. But that was before this, I think.
No, that was after that.
That was a recent
right,
clip. But now that type of behavior is shut down. Now you can't just walk out and say, just give me the fine, I'm going. Now it's mandatory into the gulag.
Well,
yeah.
Until I see evidence of that, I'm not.
Okay.
I think they say it's mandatory. I think people are voluntarily doing this stuff. I think that's the problem.
Okay. Yes, it's possible that you may be able to do that if you just pay the $1,000 fine. That's possible. And by the way, that's Canadian dollars, so what's $1.50?
Well, the other thing is that fine is never collected, according to this guy.
Well,
you get the fine. You got to, it's on your record. You got it's fine, but it's never collected, so you don't really pay anything.
Okay. Don't worry, they'll get that once they give you your digital dollar. In France, Macron has announced new restrictions, putting France into the third national lockdown. Germany, lockdown again, although in Berlin it seems to be kind of okay, according to Boots on the Ground report. But in the Netherlands, still curfew. We'll be going through the third week of April. A curfew. Curfew. You cannot hang out with your friends after 10 p.m. Well, you can, but you have to be, you can't be on the street after 10 p.m. It's insane.
That's because it's nocturnal.
It's nocturnal, yes. It's just, now, it's crazy.
I have the one last clip, which is this is a funny clip because this, now the government seems to be teaming up with supposed influencers. Ah. This is CBC.
This is what about this? Well, this is Team Halo. This is just the local Team Halo from the UN on TikTok.
CBC teaming up with influencers.
You enter Emiliotis now with a look at how public health officials are teaming up with online influencers, hoping their message of truth is viral.
Fact check false.
Their message of truth goes viral. Oh, my goodness.
Can you imagine their message of truth going viral?
No, no.
The health officials in viral. Canada are teaming up with these. I don't want to say they're idiots.
Go ahead.
That are on, you know, TikTok and Instagram. So their message of truth. Unbelievable to me. This was the most astonishing thing I've ever even imagined. But okay.
Well, it's what it is. And a lot of it's marketing. But just look at all the agenda. It's clashing, really. The agendas are just clashing. We've got pharma, biosecurity, technology, the Democrat Party, the Republican Party. This was good. This was from one of our producers. It was actually good is a whole different word. About
actually good as opposed to the,
yeah, it was actually damn good. It was about de Blasio. Let me see if I can find this.
Oh, I'm all ears.
Yeah, you'd like a good de Blasio story. Where's my China folder here? Oh, here it is. Okay, this is a pretty good. Adam, looking down a rabbit hole regarding a land grab potentially in play for New York City real estate. Some background. I've been a residential RE agent for 10 years in Manhattan, recently located to Palm Beach County, Florida, with my wife and son after seeing the writing on the wall during the lockdowns. By the way, we have the best producers in the universe. Looking up to the pandemic, it has become clear that the state local laws were being crafted to make it more difficult for smaller landlords to survive. This is true because our friends from Brooklyn moved here as one of the reasons. The killing off of the Amazon deal in Queens by AOC was another head scratcher. Post-COVID, it was almost impossible to ignore. I was speaking to a colleague today that's Manhattan commercial real estate insider, and the word on the street is that Bill de Blasio has been conspiring with a real estate investment trust / hedge funds to tank the New York City real estate market so these investors can swoop in and buy back, converting a bunch of commercial buildings and hotels for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
I think that's true. And I think
it's true, too. I think
it's the Chinese is what I'm thinking, too. They already own, own New York.
It might be the Chinese, but generally speaking, the Chinese aren't.
They already own the Waldorf.
Yeah, they own a lot of stuff. But they're buying in a top dollar.
They're not savvy real estate.
The sucker, the Chinese, into buying at best price and some bad, bad investments. We don't lose out on these things, Americans.
You know, Tina asked me this morning, says, who really runs New York? You know, because she comes from Chicago, so she knows, you know, the Dailies and the Priskers. And New York, you know, the Irish mob is gone. The mafia is it Wall Street? Are they the mob that runs New York? Who runs New York?
I think you just hit it.
Is that it? It is, right? It's Wall Street. Okay. Right. So there you go. That would make sense. They're just stealing from themselves at this point. It's fine.
Stealing from themselves.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they don't even know it.
But they're stealing from each other as well, which is normal behavior.
It's mostly stealing from each other.
It's normal behavior over there.
I have the one last clip for the COVID part of the show.
Okay.
NPR is. They had this, this is a short part of this clip. It goes on and on. But Mississippi decided that they're fed up with the, I mean, the governor there, another Republican, is fed up with the fact that, you know, that they keep pointing the finger at Florida. Look at all the fun they're having in Florida. And we're here, and Mississippi coast has got a lot of action for having fun. You can have fun in Mississippi. They got casinos, Biloxi. There's all kinds of action in Mississippi.
Yo.
But if it's locked down now, and then they said, they look over at Texas. Texas, you know, they pulled the plug on most of the stuff. So the Mississippi guy, he says, okay, we're pulling the plug on all these bull crap rules. The NPR woman is just going to grill the Mississippians about this, convinced that this is a bad idea, and she's never going to let up on it. I only have part of this clip, but this is the report on Mississippi on NPR. This is called Shaming Mississippi.
Even though more Americans than ever are eligible to receive a COVID-19 vaccine, cases of the virus actually rose this week. The CDC warns of a fourth wave of coronavirus cases in the U.S. Despite that, many states still have loose or non-existent restrictions. That includes the state of Mississippi, where Governor Tate Reeves lifted nearly all coronavirus mandates by executive order at the beginning of March. Joining us today to talk about how his state plans to move forward from this moment is Dr. Thomas Dobbs, the state health officer of Mississippi. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being with us. I'm curious because when we spoke to you last June, you said that you did not anticipate your office letting up on any COVID restrictions for at least another year. That was last June. But at the beginning of this month, Governor Reeves lifted nearly all of the restrictions, including mask mandates, other than being inside school buildings and in classrooms. What changed?
Well, you know, we have seen a pretty phenomenal improvement in our cases and our deaths. And I know that the governor's perspective, one of the main targets was to make sure that we kept our hospital and our healthcare system from being overwhelmed. And I'll tell you, to be honest, we've been quite pleased to see around the community, you know, most folks are wearing masks.
Right. Well, I mean, it's not just concerns about this potential fourth wave. We spoke to an epidemiologist on our show yesterday warned that a COVID-19 variant in Florida is even more transmissible than others. So with variant spreading and the likelihood of a fourth wave, again, should Mississippi go back to enforcing more mask wearing or impose other similar restrictions?
Oh, my.
She goes on with the same line of questions.
But also, I'm so tired of the phony inflection in these voices. So, you know, mask, you know, just mask wearing. And like those social distancing.
That's
sickening.
What you're saying right there, because I'm a dick, I have really focused in on these NPR clips because I know they have a lot of that.
Yeah. It's condescending.
And I know it
it's
just
rude.
Irks the hell out of you.
It does. It's very rude. It's just, it's like, why even act? Why don't you say, hey, you're a dick. I'm interviewing you about being a dick. That's what it is.
That's pretty much what it is. You're right.
Yeah.
And then she continues for another 3 or 4 minutes with the same, whatever he says. Well, that might be true, but with a fourth wave coming, and don't you think it should clamp back down and put the masks back on?
Oh, man.
And he said, well, we always, you know, the funny thing is, most people are wearing masks. Yes, but that's different than a mandate, isn't it? And it's just unbelievable. NPR is the worst.
Sometimes these thoughts come through my mind. Now, what would it take to just foul up their system, you know, like a ransomware attack or something? Something's got to happen. And it would be great for it to happen just at the cable head ends. Just lock it all up. Just turn it off. Turn it off, please.
You can't.
And then
The local, here's the worst part. All the local affiliates have their own news feeds. And they all sound the same way. They all, let sounds like the NP, like the network. And
though we're local, we want to sound national, because maybe one day we'll get picked up like Audie Lang and to do the news. Yes, NPR, always insincere, like a bunch of
We're going to play. Here's another clip from them.
Oh, you're going to hurt me now.
This is the clip that this is more of a tip.
Could you please intro it a la NPR just to put me in the mood?
Okay, now we've got a clip coming up about Fly Delta.
Oh, wow. Now, the airline. Very good. What is it about, John's clip?
It's about the airlines relaxing their rules.
Atlanta-based Delta is now the only major U.S. airline still limiting capacity on flights to reduce the spread of the coronavirus. But the airline says it will stop blocking middle aisle seats on its planes in May, reversing a policy the airline put in place last April. At one time, a number of other major carriers, including Southwest, Alaska, and JetBlue, had similar policies. American Airlines did it for a short time, and United never did. Delta CEO Ed Bastian says nearly 65% of the people who flew on Delta last year expect to have had at least one dose of COVID-19 vaccine by May 1st.
What tells me I'm flying Delta. I got that extra room in the middle.
Please. All right. We have a choice here. I have a bunch of China stuff, which I think we should wait, but I can do my two clips. This is a hot topic. Kamala Harris is a hot, hot topic. And I think since it's a hot topic, we should do it before before the top of the hour, which was 15 minutes ago.
Okay.
All right.
Is it about her cackling?
Yes. Cackling Kamala.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it? The optics are certainly not good. The vice president does have a habit of laughing at serious subjects. The latest example happened in Connecticut while talking about the impact of COVID on school teachers and parents. Take a look.
More parents are seeing the value of educators when they had to bring their kids and say, we're not paying them nearly enough.
Yeah, that laughter quickly led to backlash on social media. One person saying, quote, there are millions of working parents who must think it's hilarious that they can't send their children to school this morning. Others asked, is this what she does when she's nervous, unprepared, or perhaps both? Another Twitter user said, look, there's something wrong. Everything is a joke. Where are her PR and comms team?
So the... And I'm a little disappointed in Gitmo Nation because the only thing that anyone can come up with is she's high. She's smoking weed. She's doing a Tupac thing. She's high. No, 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 no. We have discussed this. We have talked about this on the show. I'm very disappointed. No one remembers this exact medical emergency that she is going through. I bring back the commercial.
Don't call it depression. Call it by its real name. Don't call it crazy. Call it PBA, pseudobulbar affect. PBA causes frequent episodes of uncontrollable crying or laughing in people with brain injuries or neurologic conditions like stroke, dementia, or MS. For a free PBA fax kit, call 1-800-575-5238 or go to pbafax.com. You'll learn the science behind PBA.
The woman is suffering from pseudobulbar affect. It's clear as day, and she needs to be, and you know, this can also be related to depression. And to brain injury. She may have both.
Wow.
Did that not sound just like her laugh?
Well, her laugh is awkward.
Right, just like on the commercial. Yeah, it's awkward.
Didn't take the clip, but I had a clip from this guy in Australia. The Australians seem to be picking up on a lot of the stuff going on over here better than we are, especially off Sky.
Well, that's a Fox thing. It's like Sky but Fox.
Call Cackling Kamala.
That's a good one. I hadn't heard that. I like it.
And it's a show title, Cackling Kamala.
Yes.
There's a lot of collections on the internet of her just, you know, going nuts, worse than Hillary. Because Hillary was a cackler.
Right.
But she was, it was more circumspect. It was like, you could see what Hillary thought was funny at the moment. You know, like the dead people, somebody died, he died. That's great. That's hilarious. So that makes sense. But Kamala's stuff, she just cracks up at the middle of nothing. She's just laughing about this and that. And it's always this, and it's a crazy cackle. It's not a good look, to be honest about it. She's not very serious.
Let me see. I do see it's a face bag link. So who is this? Wayne Dupree? asks if she's suffering from that. Now there's not a lot.
Dupree is a right wing.
Yeah, nut job. So I didn't get it.
It's
from
not
him.
A nut job. He's just a white.
I mean, I thought I thought about it because we've played this commercial.
Yeah, I don't remember that commercial until you replayed it.
Yeah.
But now that you mention it, that is, she could be suffering from something that's causing this, because when it happens, it's really an outburst. It's not like somebody said something funny.
Well, let's look at
it's never when somebody says something funny.
Well, here it is.
They ask a serious question and she cracks up.
Here it is. Signs and symptoms. The cardinal feature of the disorder is a pathologically lowered threshold for exhibiting the behavioral response of laughter, crying, anger, or all of the above.
So now, didn't she cry once in some situation?
Yes. An affected. I don't remember when, but
I remember clipping it.
An affected. Oh, let's see. Kamala crying. Let's see. Kamala cry. Crying reporter. Are you sure?
I remember crying over some situation.
It could be. Now, let's see.
She was at some rally and somebody died or something and she was in tears.
Well, here. This is very interesting. An affected individual exhibits episodes of laughter, crying, anger, or combination of these without an apparent motivating stimulus or in response to stimuli that would not have elicited such an emotional response before the onset of their underlying neurological disorder. In some patients, the emotional response is exaggerated in intensity, but is provoked by a stimulus with an emotional valence congruent with the character of the emotional display. For example, a sad stimulus provokes a pathologically exaggerated weeping response instead of a sigh, which the patient normally would have exhibited in that particular instance. However, in some other patients, the character of the emotional display can be incongruent with and even contradictory to the emotional valence of the provoking stimulus, or may be incited by a stimulus with no clear valence. For example, a patient may laugh in response to sad news or cry in response to stimuli with no emotional undertone. She's sick, and it can also be part of dementia. Would it be crazy if she's the one with dementia and Joe is just slow and old? That would be great. I say
that's no agenda material.
Well, this is a problem because they can 25 Joe, but we can 25 Kamala right behind that. This is great. Has she ever had traumatic brain injury, stroke? Probably not.
Well, she has a daughter, right?
Yes.
She does. A lot of women who have children have microstrokes.
Oh. Yeah, I've heard you mention this before. Well, yeah. We don't know anything, but I think it's worth looking into. You know, she is the vice president. She is in charge of immigration. How's that going?
Well, they took her off that.
Oh, what, she's removed already? What, she didn't like it?
Well, she was never, there was a long, I didn't, another missed clip.
Oh, this is great.
But this was, they had Dana Perino on with the Money Honey.
Oh, the crypto cougar.
And they discussed how she was never really put on, there was no real task force. It was just a kind of a blunder that she was assigned this
duty. It was a huge blunder. It was insulting, I'd say.
So she's not doing that at the moment. So,
but then what is she doing? Well, what she's not doing is moving into the vice president's residence. She's still not.
I didn't hear this.
Yes, she is reportedly very bothered that she has not. This may be part of her PBA. Very bothered she hasn't been able to move into her official Washington residence over 2 months after the inauguration. Now, you got to ask yourself, one, is it because these renovations really are taking so long? Or two, she doesn't want to unpack because she knows where she's really going to be sleeping in a few weeks.
Yeah.
You tell me.
That's a good one.
You tell me. She says, apparently the quote was, she's getting frustrated living out of suitcases for more than 2 months after Inauguration Day. And she wanted the kitchen changed. She didn't like the kitchen.
Oh, brother.
According to two administration staffers, Harris asked for work to be completed on the kitchen.
Kitchen.
Yeah. Kitchen. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
That's a sign of someone who can't cook.
or won't. One or the other. Oh, my goodness. Well, it's a fun world out there.
Okay. That's good. Now we have to follow this in the cackling.
Yes. I'm taking my bong hit.
Well, I'm going to do this.
That's right, and I'd like to take this moment to say in the morning to you and thank you for your courage, the man who put the C in the cackling Camelot. Ladies and gentlemen, John C. Dvorak!
Well, in the morning to you, Mr. Adam Curry. In the morning, our ships to sea, boots and ground feet, and the air subs in the water, the James Knights out there.
And in the morning to the trolls in our troll room. How you doing, trolls? Good to see you all there. Could you please put your hands in the air so I can count you everywhere? Let's see, we have today... Whoa, 1677, it is a Thursday, but people are either back to work or don't care. Seems low. Isn't that low? I mean, Sunday was over 2,000, which is what it should be.
16?
1677.
That's our standard number.
Is that our standard number? Okay, all right. How's the PBR? Is it good? I like the PBR in the newsletter. You're kind of getting into it.
Well, that kind of fit into the newsletter, what it was about. So, yeah, I'd like to thank the guy who did that PBR art. And I can't remember. It has a convoluted name. I couldn't remember.
Yeah, I don't. Honestly, I don't remember it myself, actually.
While we're discussing the art, I will.
Yes. Let me tell everyone about the troll room for just a second. That is where you can troll along with this show, but not just this show, many, many other shows at noagendastream.com. So we've got the chat there, and that's open 24 hours a day. And it looks like a regular chat, but you go in there, you look around like, what's this? Damn it, it's trolls. And if you don't, then you're the troll. So it's a place for trolls to go hang out. And you listen to whatever podcast is playing right there. And actually, I wanted to mention that there is now a proposal in the Podcasting 2.0 GitHub to enable a podcast app to fire off a live stream when someone goes live. And this is mainly for all of our podcasters on noagendastream.com. You can also do the streaming value for value. So there's all kinds of cool stuff coming for the trolls, all courtesy of your No Agenda show and Gitmo Nation. Still going strong over there at noagendasocial.com. I am seeing what looks like more people signing up in other places and then starting to integrate into our timeline. It's a federated social network, so anybody can set up a server. It's free and open source. There's many places you can get one for a couple bucks a month. But if you really want to be free and independent, set one up on your own server for your family or just for your little group. I'm seeing more and more people do that, and I like it. Please let me know what your instance names are so I can promote them on the show. We'd like to thank the artist for episode 1333. We titled that one Vax Hole 1333. Yes.
And Vax Hole is a good name. And I want to mention it was Gabriel Van Hout, H-O-U-D-T.
Hout. Van Hout, yeah. Oh, who did the art.
Mm-hmm. Who did the No Agenda Pabst Blue Ribbon label art.
Wow. That's kind of cool for a Dutch guy. He knows his PBR. They don't have PBR in Holland.
He's actually done a number of nice pieces that are somewhat conceptual. And this one I felt like using because it hit the spot.
It's even more interesting because there are a number of producers who have reached out to me from the Netherlands saying, can you tell me what it tastes like? Because we're really curious over here. We really want to know.
Oh, I can tell you what it tastes like. What you do is you pour some sparkling regular carbonated maybe seltzer water into a glass, fill it up about three quarters of the way full, and then pee in it, like just a little bit.
That's right, everybody. You got yourself a PBR hands-on pee report.
You can spit on my pickup truck, call my mom a lousy whore.
All right.
Now, Van Hout, I should mention, did a Build Back Better art with the top of Joe Biden's head missing.
Oh, yeah. This is nice. Very nice. Piece. Well, the 1333 art was done by Sir Net Ned, and this This was so no agenda. You look at this, anyone who is not clued into the show will go, wow, that's some good drugs. It was the Panama Welders Local 33 welding a stack of toilet paper. No one else understands this. That was well done. It's a good piece.
I think it's like a union button.
And yeah. No, I don't know if it's welding or if there's like a scrubber. I don't know what's going on.
That's a welder. That's a welder. He's got a welder's hat on. He's got the welding.
But what's shooting off? What's shooting off there? Is that sparks that's shooting off of where he's welding the toilet paper? So why am I even asking this unlikely question? Let's look at some of the art, which you're seeing cycle now in any of your podcasting 2.0 compatible apps. You can find them at newpodcastapps.com. Thank you, Dreb Scott. Let's take a look at some of the stuff that didn't make the cut. And we need to talk about the fact which I saw it was created. I don't know if we talk about it yet or is it being posted?
No, we haven't, no.
Mm. Oh, you sent me an email about
Tanta
it.
Tanta Nail sent in a list of stuff that she's picked up on, and she says, here's the beginning of your fact. So I said, oh, great. And then I'll have to put it together something that looks formal.
No, yeah. Do you want me to read what she wrote or that? Yeah.
Sure, read it.
Okay. So she said she has two columns, no and yes. No stealing, no Disney, no copyrighted images or logos, no Corona COVID image, no gross or anything that puts the show in a negative light, no faces of Adam and John, no small details or lettering. Yeah. No busy image with several attention points. Well, that last one, I don't know if that's not a law or anything.
What was it again?
No busy image with several attention points. It just doesn't work. I mean, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Yeah, I think we can leave that last one off.
Okay. And then no small details lettering. That's just a technical part. It's really important. Now, the yes column, yes to jokes, popping, attractive colors, sparking interest to new listeners who see the image, still readable, recognizable in a thumbnail size, 200 by 200. I think it's 256, actually. A depiction of show topics or special events. Adjusted products, food, beverages, product boxes, etc. So, you know, it's like, it almost feels limiting, this category. Self-drawn imagery.
What she's done is she's deconstructed what we've been picking.
Oh, that's good.
Because we never talk about this, what she just said there.
Correct. Okay. Yeah.
She looks at what we've been doing and saying, oh, okay, I see what they're up to. And now she's deconstructing it and making it part of the rules.
So this, well, it's not part of the rules. It's actually good advice.
The second part would be advice as opposed to rules.
Yeah. So advice is make it funny, make it popping, attractive, sparking interest in new listeners who see the image, make it still readable or recognizable, thumbnail size, depiction of show topics or special events, adjusted products. So that's our joke products, food, beverages, product box, etc. Self-drawn imagery. Public domain creative commons imagery and complementary font is preferred over a template font. Well, that's, I guess, sometimes.
This is true.
It's for extra points. I think it's most extra
of the
points.
Time. Recently, most of the time, we're using original stuff, original font.
Extra points. Absolutely. Extra points.
All right. I think the template is pretty much not being used by anybody that's winning a lot.
So what else did we see here? Fiddlesticks was pretty funny. There was a lot of vax hole stuff. Of course we used the vax hole title, which kind of doesn't have to, but that made it, kind of void for us. I like the toilet paper rolls with SOS. If I recall, that was cute. That was,
yes, you did like that. I didn't like, why didn't I like that? There was some reason.
No, I think we just liked the welder better. I don't think it was that we didn't like it. I see.
Yeah, the toilet paper rolls SOS is Darren.
We also looked at the button, don't be a vax hole. That's another Darren. He tried hard. I feel bad now.
The other one. I wanted to comment on the round pangolin.
Oh, yes, the pangolin.
Now, I like the pangolin one a lot. I didn't go and look it up because we weren't going to pick it because of the rest of the problem. The artist.
Kenny Ben.
First of all, I don't believe that he designed this pangolin. Kenny Ben.
Is it me or does it look like the new Microsoft Edge logo? Isn't it exactly what it looks like?
That's a funny idea.
Let me take a look.
Now, he's done a lot of funny things,
dude,
this guy.
Dude, it's exactly like the Microsoft. It's reversed, basically. I'm telling you, that was part of the joke. I didn't realize.
I would have gone further into picking this one if this pandemic pangolin font wasn't Comic Sans.
Oh my goodness! Wow, what a faux pas on behalf of Kenny here,
and on behalf of all mankind directors.
My goodness. So harsh, but so true.
So, I mean, that stopped me in my track. So I don't know whether he designed the pangolin or not. I didn't care at that point. But I was very attractive. I liked the pangolin.
Yes, you were very attracted to the pangolin.
Yeah, because I like these types of round logos. And it's just it's kind of a throwback to the 90s New Age designs. That's the way I saw
it. Yeah, it's pretty.
Anyway.
As part of the product that we offer to you twice weekly, we do not include creepy corporate money, shill, native advertising, no pharma ads, no corporate control, any no Chinese Communist Party control, like most of your M5M that you can witness everywhere and that we've been playing throughout the morning. Instead, we created the value for value model, which means you just determine, as it should be, in this marketplace of value, what is the show worth to you? And then you give it back to us. Is that simple? There's nothing else to it. Just make sure when you do it, it's meaningful to you. Now, that could be time, talent, or treasure. We love the treasure, and we love rewarding our big supporters with titles which are real, according to all of the Hollywood guilds, with executive producer or associate executive producer, in this case, of episode 1334 of the best podcast in the universe.
Indeed. And by the way, just as a teaser, we're going to have a poem that's going to be read by Adam.
Ooh, yes, poem. I got to get my poem ready.
During the reading of the notes.
Yes.
And we do have a few people to thank, starting with Danielle Taggart, $1,000 from Danielle.
Wow. Hello, Danielle.
I was punched in the mouth back in early 2019 when the smoking hot dude named Ben, protector of the MW and defender of the electric grid, introduced me to No Agenda to further enrich our debates.
Nice.
I did not immediately take to the show. Then that same dude introduced me to MoFax, thinking it was more aligned with my focus areas.
She was doing
and
the work.
He was right.
Mm-hmm.
And now both shows consistently occupy the top two spots on my podcast list. She needs a de-douching.
Yeah, we could do that. I was so enthralled, I forgot the de-douche-matron.
You've been de-douched.
She needs a de-douching and a DDB.
Oh.
I don't know what that is. What's a DDB?
I didn't realize that this was... go ahead. I'll line that. I know what she wants. I'll line it up.
Is this something from the other show?
Yeah.
Come on, let's try to not mix these shows up.
Well,
I'm sending the same donation to note to both shows. Oh, okay. Well, you guys cleaned up on this one. Thank you both for doing the work. I don't have to. I don't have the patience to do. Nobody does, actually. In the 2000s, in fact, that's all we do. We haven't got the patience for this either. I realized that the American society was becoming a poorly scripted reality TV show where need is currency and bad decisions are encouraged for ratings. At that point, yeah, I can see this is more MoFax than us.
Well, at that point, hopefully you're okay with her request.
I'm good with it. I want to hear what this is. At that point, I decided to start being more careful about what I let into my brain.
That's it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, while ignorance is bliss, awareness is responsibility. That is where you all come in and help me stay aware without submitting myself to the value, to the tactics and talking points. You're challenging the way I think and teaching me things I do not know. There are plenty of times I disagree with your take on things, which is something that we discourage people from telling us because, mm-hmm. duh. But that is part of the value, too. Either way, we're not here to tell you how to think.
Yeah, we're no Ben Shapiro.
We're here to tell you how to think. Either way, I learned more by...
Wow. Wow. Excellent. Okay.
Yeah. Either way, I hear more by hearing and considering your perspectives. This donation technically makes me a dame. Please knight me Dame Taggart, Gypsy of the Southwest, and add some spicy Hatch green chili to the round table. Yeah. Let's go get some jobs karma and out there for everybody. I want some jobs karma. Anyone who needs it, and please play the Trump Aroused, the Atlas Shrugged, and Fauci Wheeze, and also a Mo Karma. Please. Sincerely, Dame Taggart.
Holy moly. Okay, there's a whole bunch of stuff she wanted there. Okay, I think I can do this. And first, she needed her DDB.
Congratulations. You're no longer a deadbeat.
It was hard to get it aroused, and it is hard to get it aroused, but we got it aroused.
Atlas Shrugged. By Ayn Rand.
You've got
MoCom. No, I think I got everything now. Oh, she wanted. Well, sorry, I missed the jobs karma. I should probably do that. Hold on. My goodness, don't make it so complicated. This cross show thing is cute, but man.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs. You've got karma.
And at the end of this show, we'll be doing our stock picks.
Right.
Anonymous down under.
Closest district. To the pin today on No Agenda.
I would do closer to the pin. There you go.
By
anonymous
the way,
down.
Never mind. Under, never mind. Never mind. Never mind.
In Caulfield, Victoria, Australia, 521 anonymous donation. Down under, positively / well informed. Thank you, Floods Down Under.
No, thank you very much, Floods Down Under.
Very coded message.
No, that's good. 521.
James Anderson in Vancouver, Washington, 401. Greetings. Thanks to the best podcast in the universe, Stereo Goat Karma. Goat Cream Karma, please.
You've got karma.
The Night of the Barbary Coast in San Francisco, where the Barbary Coast is still there. $400.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a little street near Chinatown. ITM from the San Francisco Censored for Your Safety Masquerade Meetup. Ah, much fun was had by all. PBR was consumed. This is the donation from the meetup.
Yes, fantastic.
PBR was consumed and given the problems with the audio. Maybe those bourbon shots weren't a great idea. I guess we'll have to keep doing meetups till we get our meeting report act together. An envelope was passed around, which is nice, and it was my responsibility to get the money to the best podcast in the universe. So as George Bush would say, mission accomplished. My understanding is that all the dollars count as meetup money, but if any attendees meant their share towards their personal knighthood or higher status, then please maintain your personal accounting accordingly. Well, thank you for putting that message in
there.
Very
good.
Huzzah!
Huzzah!
The Night of the Barbary Coast.
Huzzah!
Huzzah to you.
Huzzah!
Sir Roy Martin in Dothan, Alabama, 350. Love the show. Love PC 2.0 particularly because it is so easy to clip to friends and hit them in the mouth.
Oh, that's really nice. He's talking about our sound bites feature of podcasting 2.0. And so you can indeed really easily make Podverse has them. Does a really good job. Yeah, you can make clips. Exactly.
From our state perspective, the pandemic is over. It's over. But nobody wants to deal with it being over. We got to sell some more vaccines. We got to get, anyway. SARS, the real deadly one, SARS-1, COVID-1, came and went.
No masks, no social distancing.
Came and went, and it was a killer.
Remember Ebola? When the plane landed, when it was on live TV, and the first patient with Ebola coming to Dallas landed the plane, they had the shot from the tower, and then the ambulance drove him to, you know, to the end of the tarmac, and the guy jumps out and walks in with, like, in a hazmat suit. He wasn't all flesh-eating, puking, pooping out his guts.
From our state, into our state perspective, the pandemic's over, and I do not know what country the Washington blowholes are talking about. And then his note gets cut off.
Yeah, I got
four. So those, if you have any more to say, Sir Roy, let us know.
I missed it, unfortunately.
Sorry about that, Roy.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Friday in Shoreline, Washington, 333.44. ITM, I'm a Rogan transplant. I've appreciated all the info.
Sorry.
Rogan donation.
One per show.
This is my first donation.
Oh.
So de-douche me.
You've been de-douched.
And I've got two douchebag call-outs for my buddies Jason.
Douchebag.
And Karsten.
Douchebag.
I'm an artist, so please give me some jobs, Karma. Friday. And he's got a...
Is that his website?
I don't know. Maybe Friday. Okay, we'll read it since it's here. FridayGlass.com.
What is it? Friday.
FridayGlass.com. He's an artist.
Mm-hmm. What does he have on Friday Glass? Oh, he's a glass. He's a glass hole.
He's a glass guy.
Wow.
Well, there's all the good glass guys in Washington because they all got trained. I bet you got trained by Galuli, the guy.
Galuli, the guy,
the glass guy up there. I met him once. He's the famous glass blower.
Oh my goodness,
State.
John! Go to current work. And what's this? Is this archive? Oh, man. He's got a gear set made of glass. Oh, Gears of Time.
Friday, it's FridayGlass.com?
Yeah. Oh, man. This guy's got some beautiful stuff.
Well, all the super... I bet you he's one of the proteges, but maybe not. But there are all the superstar glass guys are up in Washington, and they put on exhibits at the Seattle airport once in a while. It's just like mind-boggling.
I mean, this is incredible, the work that he's done.
Oh, no, this guy's no slouch.
No, he's
Mr. No Slouch.
He's no glass hole.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for Jobs.
You thought.
You know what worries me is I don't see any prices.
Oh, that means he's not giving it away.
I'd really like to know, but
I have a problem with the priceless thing. I should mention this. Now, I just put up on my Etsy shop.
Yes.
Just to come down about three notches in quality from this guy.
You think?
Have you seen his bear? Unbelievable.
You see the bears?
Oh, the bear. This bear he's got here.
You should look at his whole bear page. Okay, we can just sit here all day and marvel about this.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. People can go to his shop. We got it linked. So I have my Etsy shop, and you go to Etsy and you type in Dvorak Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E.
Yes, the old English. Word. That's just for marketing purposes to make it easier for everybody.
It's because I couldn't get anything else.
Dvorak Shop with one P was taken? What?
Yeah. So you couldn't get anything else. So we got S-H-O-P-P-E, and I put up three new mugs, which are from my collection. It's nothing I did.
Right.
Including the classic, I put it up for $200, even though I wanted to sell it for $400. The original green, original logoed Microsoft mug that is the most collectible of all Microsoft mugs. It's got the original logo. It's in perfect condition. It's not chipped or anything. And it is the mug, and I'm selling it for $200 because it is. If you have that mug and you're working at Microsoft, that means you're an original or you're hooked into the beginnings of it or something.
So you're a Microsoft original? Dude, okay. So is it Etsy you said?
Etsy, yeah.
Okay,
go to Etsy.
I go to Etsy and I type in Dvorak Shop, right?
Yeah.
In the search, find shop names, and I do that, and I get... PDF tutorial for Terry's tea shop. I get ink sans vials.
How are you spelling it again?
S-H-O-P-P-E.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I just did a search and it came right up.
Well, they're hosing you, bro. Let's see. What if I just do Dvorak? What happens then?
It shouldn't help.
I get a lot of music. I get a Dvorak This is lame, man. I want to see it. I sincerely want to. What if I just do shop with one P? That'd be hilarious.
I just did it and it came up divorce. It's all one word.
Oh, well, okay. Jeez. All one word. Yeah, that worked. Of course that worked. Dvorak shop. Aw, cute. Did Jay draw that logo for you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the... Oh, yes. It's sold. What are you talking? It's sold.
What's sold?
The green Microsoft mug sold. What kind of...
It
doesn't
say that on here.
It says sold right here.
Well, if it's sold, it just must have sold today.
Well, what was it priced at?
$200.
Damn, Skippy. It's sold. Nice.
I knew I could have. I should have priced it higher.
You messed it up. Oh, is this? Oh, look at this. Who? Oh, this is really nice. Look at this. My goodness, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to see some cool stuff, which, by the way, I do not include John's Target practice. Targets. What the hell? $150 for your Target practice? No.
Well, that's because I don't expect to sell those. No. That's overpriced.
No, I'm not gonna buy that from you. But I'll take that Bonville for $150. Oh, it's just a picture signed by you.
Well, who else is gonna sign it?
I don't know, man. It's funny.
Why is it funny? It's a photograph.
Well, I don't know. It's just maybe your.
I don't know. You said you're getting like Kamala.
Well, I'm going to tell you.
All right, enough of the website. I'm very disappointed that mug sold if it did.
I think it's funny because your signature doesn't. It looks kind of weird. I've seen your signature on the certificate. I've never seen it written like the bottom. Go look at it. You tell me it's not a weird signature.
It's a little small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it a one of one?
Yeah, I don't do any.
Is it an artist proof? Is it an artist proof?
There's no artist. It's just one of one.
Nice page, man. I like the Manhattan shot. That looks pretty sick. How big is that piece?
Well, I actually have a bigger piece of that I haven't put on the shop, which is hanging on the wall. Which
all
is
right, like let's
4 foot by 5 foot.
We're just looking at old mugs. What is wrong with us? Back to the show.
Yeah, where were we?
We were at the FridayGlass.com, and he wanted Jobs Karma, and I don't even remember if we gave it to him. We'll
jobs,
do it again,
jobs,
just in case.
Jobs and Jobs. Let's vote for Jobs.
All right, blown away by that. Here, I'll pick this up. Carissa Mulan, 33333 from Thaxton, Virginia. And Carissa says, happy 50th birthday to me. To my longtime boyfriend, Scott Manning. He's the future knight of the Mid-Atlantic Solar Winds. We are officially one third of the way to knighthood. I want a biscuit on my birthday, a Fauci Wheeze, a Sleepy Joe, Giant Dumps by 45 Savage, China's Asshole, R2-D2, in honor.
Why don't you just list all of it, Jim?
I know. I mean, do we need to do a fact of this now?
We need to do yes, we should definitely do yes.
And it's good idea. And the biggest problem is the more jingles you ask for, the less coherent I sound because I'm going to have to be. I have them all pre-selected, but they're all pre-sorted, so I have to find it in the list, put it in there, and you're really just slowing down the show. So I highly appreciate the support.
Guilt trip.
Do you like that?
Yeah.
I'm working on it.
Carissa, you're slowing down the show.
Really? It's like you're really taking all the wind out of our sails. All right. What is the last one? The R2-D2. Okay. I've got all that. What else did she say? Scott will tell you that his best birthday present continues to be my willingness to co-listen to your bi-weekly amygdala shrinking therapist sessions, good for both sanity restoration and intentional reality assessment. Not to mention wholehearted laughter. That's right. We're your source for PBA affected. Thanks for your fabulous show.
They always give me a biscuit on my birthday.
Here we go.
They did dumps. They call them dumps. Big, massive dumps.
China is asshole.
You've got karma.
As we come up to Anonymous in Lake Wiley, I guess, South Carolina, 333. Anonymous has the jingle request for a better life, build back better.
Mm-hmm.
And again, massive dumps.
Interesting.
That's true in the TPP jobs karma birthday list. And he's got a birthday, him, he or she has a birthday in April 2nd.
Oh, beauteous.
Well, I donated once in the past. I am long overdue, so he or she needs a de-douching.
You've been de-douched.
It was 1 year ago. While unable to piece together all my once trustworthy news sources, coverage of the Wuhan Institute of Virology's engineered virus that I recalled a plug on a Joe Rogan donation jingle interview for a news podcast with no agenda.
We already did the jingle, so.
Yes, I know. I finally discovered true journalism and no agenda listening to your open, constructive, and we do a news analysis.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's journalism.
We do some journalism. It's very rare, and it's usually because of the field reports.
But when we do journalism, it's hot.
Oh, it's the best. So
sizzling hot.
We also do constructive analysis while walking my dog, screaming over the government egregious. Well, walking my dog, steaming over the government's egregious responses. For the state of brevity, which you've already
halfway through,
you're already over on that. I would like to thank you for the best podcast in the universe and the hilarious jobs karma, as it was my first favorite. And soon after discovering your show, I landed the best job I ever had. Was it hilarious? I'm not getting this. And I want to give a portion of that back, though it does not truly reflect the value the show has provided. Generally true.
As long as it's meaningful to you.
Yes, as long as it counts. Everything counts. Everything, every nickel. As another contribution, I've been at the center of supporting SPAC strategy.
Oh.
And here we go.
Yeah.
At my job, and would like to say, in reference to Sunday's broadcast and John's analysis, well, SPACs are a new get rich scheme. Okay. The mechanism itself is reached wider adoption due to the speed of going public relative to the traditional IPOs. Well, this is the same. But what's the difference between that and reverse mergers then? Nothing. And the traditional investment bank BS. However, John's estimates of returns to the SPAC sponsors /original investors are extreme outliers. Yes, that's the problem. The general trade-off to a target is a lower quality stake in a new public company.
Equity stake, not quality. Equity.
Yeah, that might get a via. Okay, fine. I agree with everything you said. And we'll go with the jingles.
Yeah, I got the jingles. I got them.
Build back better, been down on bending knee.
Got the big one.
Bear the brunt of all the burdens, like broken ones should be. For a better life, we got your freedom. Build back better for someone else.
They did dumps. They call them dumps. Big, massive dumps.
That's true.
Jobs.
You've got karma.
Tight.
Abigail Hines in Alameda, California. She's got the poem 333. I'm donating today to capitalize on 33 and LEET 1334, which LEET is actually 1337.
Yeah.
April Fool's energy of this episode for some creativity karma. Jingles, don't trust China, asshole. Obama, you might die. That's true. Goat scream karma. John, I was pleased to hear last year that you like having a poet listen to the show. I'm finally delivering on that. Adam, if I put the jingles up front, would you be willing to read the poem? Your crackpot energy will be perfect.
Okay.
A perfect Dr. Seuss substitute. Thank you, and thank you both for your courage. So why don't you do the jingles and then read the poem? It's actually quite funny. It's a good poem.
Okay, do I need any accompanying music with the poem, or is it, or maybe extra reverbs, anything you recommend? This is a cold read for me, so I've not read this. Ah, yes, you will accompany me.
Donald Trump, don't trust China. China is asshole.
You might die.
That's true.
And what was the karma she wanted? I forgot. Oh, she wanted ghost scream karma. Here we go.
Yeah.
You've got karma.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, here is the poem, and John C. Dvorak will accompany me on the mouth organ. In the morning to you, the bravest of gents. To amygdala shrinkers, to treasure well spent. I donate today because I'm haunted by threes. The karma? Yeah, I just turned 33. My donations thus far anonymous have been, so would you deduce me now if you can?
You've been deduced.
Then one quick aside to call out, if you please, my brother-in-law Elijah is a douchebag indeed.
Douchebag.
From Rogan I hailed, and he's a great cast, but no agenda's the best, no contest if asked. And eclipse and your quips have proved quite essential to survive 2020, not become mental. At Woke Berkeley, I work where the fear runs amok. To listen to them, we really are ducked. Yet surely some salvation is at hand. Most colleagues have already had their first jab. In this time, we face lockdowns and wearing of masks, quarantine distancing, now passports for vax. Your conspiracy therapy is all that we need, so enjoy your vacation and that mutton and mead. And two producers out there who want to say, hi, I'm that weird poet on NA Social, ITM. Bye. There you go. That is compliments of your No Agenda team. I'm happy to do that for you.
Jason Michalowski in New Brighton, Minnesota. That's becomes our first associate executive producer. 23456. Howdy, gentlemen. Today is my birthday, and this is my gift to you. I love the show. Thank you.
Beautiful.
That's the kind of note.
That's how we like to roll.
High
That's
end.
How we like to roll.
Anonymous. Another anonymous. 224 from North Woodstock, New Hampshire, which is just north of Woodstock. Thank you for your conspiracy therapy and helpful jobs, Karma. Finally, there is an in-person work for an interpreter in hospitals now. That's interesting. Compared to almost nothing in a year of pandemic. Huh.
Interesting.
Happy April Fool's Day in a clown world.
Leah Lovis, I don't know if that's a V or if it was supposed to be a U, Leah Lovis, 22222, here in Austin, Texas. Hey, in the morning to you, in the morning, Adam, your voice is stunning. That's right, thank you. John, my brain is getting bigger, but my amygdala is getting smaller. The production quality is superb. I'm hooked. My life has completely changed since I got hit in the mouth by Sir Toth of Talala. The veil of deception has been lifted from my eyes. This is like a Naomi Wolf story here. Beautiful. Thanks to your insightful media deconstruction. This, plus I now own my own content as a member of webhosting.coop, a cooperative owned and operated web hosting company, and baby karma works. Other producers requested it, and it ricocheted through the sound waves into a little bird's ear. Now I have two-year-old twins. And you got a heaping of karma. My baby smoking hot daddy is busy saving the tubes from the banksters, moving banana boxes for Keep Austin Fed, and taking care of our chickens and quail, but he indulges in NA while traveling to and from data centers, which reminds me, webhosting.coop, or co-op, is offering a 50% discount on hosting when you use the code NALOCAL512. Thank you for your courage. Much love, Leah. The babies are swinging from the rafters. Please give them an Obama mariachi and a little girl yay.
Okay, you know what?
Woo! Hit it!
No, 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 no. Hey, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. No, no. Come on.
Yay!
Dave Petrin in Clovis, California, 222.22. He says, hit in the mouth, March 2020, Bruce Fox is a douchebag.
Yes.
Douchebag.
First donation, please de-douche me.
You've been de-douched.
The donations for jobs, Karma, that worked already.
Oh, thank you.
I decided to donate if my son Spence got the job, and he did. He's moving to Paducah, Kentucky, and starting on Monday. Jingle. Don't enslave me, Kamala.
Don't enslave me, Kamala.
That's great, man. Thank you. And thank you for making good on your promise to yourself. That's very cool. Sonny Rose, 20102. That part's unknown as for now. Adam and John, please send me some on the road karma. Possible clip included. Yes, she did send me something here. Okay. I have not listened to it, but it's 5 seconds. How bad could it be? So we'll set that up for you. Well, yeah, what am I saying, right? I leave Monday for a 6-week around the country solo road trip. Oh, I want to see for myself what the hell is going on out there. Boy, this is a great American thing to do, isn't it? Go on a 6-week road trip around the country just to check it out. Wow, that's very cool. Very Route 66 of you.
Yes, very Route 66.
Tired of being a prisoner in my own home. I'm going to be in Chi-town, 3 hours from where I grew up, for their meetup on 424, and I'll be keeping an eye out in other areas I'm visiting to get some most likely needed sanity along my travels. If you or anyone is interested, I'll be updating and posting along at the way at Sunny Says So. So that's SUNISAYSSO, SunnySaysSo.com. Sunny Rose, Maricopa. I don't understand what that is. The city, not the county, Arizona. And then she says, this amount is far less than the value I received. That's okay. It's meaningful to you. I want to thank you. Oh, I do want to read this. I want to thank you, tell you both that I love you to infinity and beyond, which is how my granddaughter and I settled the I love you more argument. And then PPS, maybe just for John. She's got some kind of ideas for you. Anyway, hey, Sonny, yeah, definitely check in from the road. Let us know how things go. That could be a good little update to hear from you.
You've got karma.
Okay, I like it. Interesting. I like that.
Carla Reinhardt comes in from Sioux Rapids, Iowa. 200. I don't have a note from her, but I do have a birthday. She's on the birthday list, so there's that.
That's not one of the notes came in?
No, it's not one of the notes.
Okay.
The notes are coming up, though. Natalie Swirsky, $200, Boots on the Ground report. Ah. In 2019, after months of vaccine research, my husband decided not to get the vitamin K drops. What? What?
I think that's the vaccine, the vitamin K drops. I don't know.
Well, there's a vitamin K.
K drops.
You're supposed to take vitamin K, by the way, when you take your D3.
Oh, you never told me this. Never.
I should have. I forgot
B12,
to tell you.
B12, you know, you've told me about that.
Yeah, well, this is new. I've only started it recently.
No.
I've been taking D for decades, and it doesn't... The vitamin K, supposedly, again, you get the K2 that you want to take with your D3 because it prevents all... There's some negative things about D3. The K supposedly negates the negative.
Isn't K ketamine?
No.
It's only spell. That's special K. I'm sorry.
Anyway, get the vitamin K drops in all but one vaccine for our soon to be new human resource. We met with several pediatrician offices. That's what it says. I'm just reading what it says. People saying you can't read, and found one that didn't promote opting out of the vaccines, but said that they would still see our child. In other words, only one would allow you to. They wouldn't see him unless you know what I'm saying?
Shot up.
Yeah, you can't come in unless you shot up, which, by the way, is illegal. We found some documentation. You can't do that. A doctor can't do
find
that.
Find a better doctor.
Several months later, I'm at the hospital pretty far into labor, and a nurse walks in and tells me that the pediatrician will not see the baby because we opted not to get the vitamin K drops. Okay, that's what she's referring to, the vaccination.
Got it.
The audacity as a doctor to change your mind and tell a woman in the middle of labor on no pain meds that you will no longer see their baby was like...
What is this doctor's name? Let's shame this guy. Let's do a tarred shaming.
Yeah, who is this doctor?
Guy?
Let's name and
what
shame.
An idiot.
They expect us to just give in and say, okay, just give her the vitamin K drops. Two, my husband's friend, you know, I think she put this code in there because of the possibility it would get cut out.
Yes, I think you're right.
That's what it was come down to.
Yeah.
My husband's friend passed away shortly after getting one of the COVID vaccines. He died suddenly while driving and got into a car accident with his whole family inside the vehicle. Their lawyer recommended not to do an autopsy because if he had died from the vaccine, she would not receive any of his life insurance. It's a nightmare story.
Wow.
He could have died from a heart attack. This was the hint from the lawyer. However, we will never know the truth. One day, while y'all were mocking all the young people who can't pronounce important, I laughed to myself and said the word out loud, and to my horror, heard important come out. Sitting there in shock,
gross.
I said the word again, important.
This is gross.
Using all my focus, I tried one last time, only to get important. I'm at a loss. All I can hope for is that the vaccine will be released to help fix this disease. Please call out Papa as a douchebag. Can I get a get out of my way, protesters? Shit. And R2-D2 scream, please.
I looked for that. I can't. I remember. Wasn't it a game? Was it the game voice? Was it?
Get out of my. Yeah, it was some from some video game. Get out of my way, protesters. I can say it.
Was it Call of Duty?
Might have been. Yeah, I would have to. I bet you it was.
Shoot. Because I looked for it earlier, and now all of a sudden I'm thinking, oh yeah. See, I can't find it, man. Command and Conquer. Maybe it was that. Command and Conquer. Nah, shoot. I know we have it. I know exactly what it is, but I can't find it. So I'll owe you that one.
You can't find it.
I know it's important. I can't.
You've got karma.
All right, let me do this. What is this? Dame Patricia? Is that what I'm reading here? Number
Dame
one?
Dame Patricia, yes.
Yes, $200. In the morning, gents, in quotes, thank you for all the work you do to help us see what's really going on. I'd like some growth and expansion of business for my daughters, Karma, please. Love and light to you both, Dame Patricia. With a lovely card, by the way. Lovely card. And she also has kind of cool, old school, but yet, you know, I like the handwriting. It's kind of how I write, honestly. I have a little bit of that. Not scratch, but.
You've got karma.
Mixed up cursive and block letters. I'm a mess.
Christine McGrath.
Does she also have a note here?
I don't have her note.
Think is this her? That's Demi in Wisconsin.
I got Dame Zelda, the Turtle Realm, which will be coming up.
Got Dame Zelda. I see Demi on UNICEF, and I see, and who is this? No, I guess not. No, I don't have that. Sorry,
I don't have it either.
I don't have it.
Christine. Anyway, Christine came in from Sun Prairie, Wisconsin, for $200. And if we find a note, which I'll look around, but I don't see it. We'll read it later. Meanwhile, last but not least, is what does this say here on this note? Is Dame Zelda of the Turtle Realm in Muskegon, Michigan. She comes in with 200, even though it shows up here as 66. Oh, no, here it is, 250, it says. I don't know. So she sent an accounting in with a bunch of numbers. My husband, Drew Soar, will be 67 on Tuesday, March 30th. It's time for him to sit at the round table beside me.
Oh, nice.
Accounting above. He's been listening to No Agenda since the beginning, and before that to John on Cranky Geeks.
Cranky Geeks donation.
Something. Which is really
what the hell?
Far and few between.
Okay.
That'll be the day. Drew would like to be known as Sir Grumpy Old Boomer, yeah, Cranky Geek, and have Blue Moon Ale and soft molasses cookies at the round table. Delicious.
Perfect.
Please place him on the birthday list. Oh, I don't think he's on the birthday
list. Yeah, he is. Yep, yeah, definitely.
No, and I believe today's donation will make him an associate producer as well as a knight. So he needs a de-douching.
You got it.
You've been de-douched.
Drew is my hobby best friend and my rock. Now he's also my knight in shining armor. Thank you, John and Adam, for all that you do for our sanity. Enjoy your well-earned vacation. Vacance.
Yes.
Holiday. Where are you going, by the way?
Secret location. Away.
Away.
Yes. Where are you going? You're not going.
Cabo.
Anywhere.
Where am I going?
Cabo.
Well, I'm going to have birthday.
I'm in the timeshare with Adler.
Your mayor.
Mayor Adler.
Yeah. Adler.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do, is my birthday week, so we're going to have a bunch of dinners, and then I'm going to do Edwin Black's podcast
on
Thursday.
I'm excited about that.
Now, and I might be doing Grumpy Old Ben's podcast, perhaps.
I think you should do it. I think it's a really good idea. I just would do it after the regular show slot, because you don't want to see all the confusion that does if we do something else in that slot. It's just confusing.
Okay, I'll take it. But how about whatever you say goes?
Yeah, but how about right after that? That would be fantastic if you did it right after the show. Yeah. I think that'd be fun.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. Hey, can I ask you something?
I haven't done Nick the Rat's podcast. I'm supposed to do that.
I'm supposed to do
up and even
I know. I'm supposed to do Grimerica before we leave. I don't know how I'm going to fit it all in. It's nuts.
No, you're going to have to put that
on. I'm messed up. And I've already made appointments that I can't keep. I'm like, I didn't. It's Tuesday. Tuesday, I think, is when we leave the house. And your birthday is
Monday.
Yeah. Wow, man. And can people send a number in for your birthday?
Yeah, I'll put it in for the Easter Sunday. It'll be the Easter Sunday, my birthday. And also,
that was my way of asking how old you're going to be.
It's going to be 3-2-1. No, 4-3-2-1. Saturday. That's Saturday. It's a countdown. It's the countdown Saturday. 4-3-2-1.
Oh, so you're not doing age anymore?
No, I'm doing age this Sunday.
How old are you going to be? I'm asking how old you're going to be.
Well, you have to figure it out. I was born in 52.
I can't do that. So you're
69.
Wasn't enough, everybody. Oh, I see. I didn't realize that was going on. Yeah, hello.
No,
we love this. Yeah.
69, dude.
I'm just doing the calculation from 1952. I believe that would be 69.
Sounds right.
Count from 1952.
I don't know. It's good with me. We're making it Soisonneuf. Je t'aime le Soisonneuf. And that's it. We thank our executive producers and associate executive producers for producing episode 1334.
Yeah, thank you for spending the extra day with us.
The extra day?
Yeah, for doing this donation segment.
Hey, it's up to the producers, man. You know, people should give each other crap. I mean, I don't mind it. I don't mind doing 3.5-4 hours. I enjoy this. I like the notes. I like hearing what people have to say. I think there's good content in there. To me, it's one thing. It's not. It's boring. What it is an opportunity for people to miss things because they think, oh, it's just donation notes. I'll fast forward to that.
Oh no, a lot of people miss a lot of content by skipping over.
Because of the structure of how podcasting 2.0 works, I now have statistics. And you can see that, yeah, there's a small piece that people drop off when the donation segment hits. But really, is it 5% of those who are listening? And it comes back up afterwards. All I'm thinking is, you missed out on some good stuff. You missed out.
I have a couple of notes to read to stretch this even further.
Okay, good, because I still have to get us out of here. Yes.
Here's a Boots on the Ground report. This is from Chris, a producer. In Norway, after hearing record results for 2020, despite the corona insecurity, the seriousness is dawning on us. Up until now, there hasn't been much change to our workday, except for a growing couple of pocket-sized hand sanitizers and one of those barcode scanners that for thermometers. Today, they finally said that when we return after Easter, we will be required to wear either a face mask or a visor. If you opt out for a mask, they expect you to wear three a day. Did I read this before?
I don't remember, but read it into the mic because you're kind of moving off.
I got to get an E20. I'm tired of the off access.
What is this? Is this the Heil 40?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good for you.
Today, it was said that, well, when I'm reading, it's not good.
No.
He says you have to use three a day and they're going to pay for them. They're free. Okay. Well, here's the other note. I don't know what they're up to in Norway. He's trying to donate from PayPal in Vietnam. This is Jasper.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I don't have any other issues with PayPal. I've been used to it. Pay for other things. Things are some sort of a, we get some sort of lockout out of Vietnam.
Us? Or all?
Yeah, us. It can't say, you can do, he uses PayPal for everything, but it won't, no agenda. So it gets a note. He sent me the thing. He says, no, can't accept.
Wow.
No agenda.
Are we on a list?
I don't know. I'm looking into it.
But who's saying says, can't accept? Is that the Vietnamese? Some Vietnamese guy and just going, can't accept, can't accept. I mean, what's going on? Who's saying this?
PayPal.
Oh.
Vietnam is open. No lockdowns. Locals still name shops and hotels after Trump. Did you know this?
No.
Apparently, everything's named after Trump in Vietnam.
Wow.
And with 105 million people, we have 2,300 cases and less than 30 deads.
Lock them down. Lock them down.
30 dead with 105 million people. Okay. Most cases were imported when locals came back from Russia and other locations. Most deads, plural, are over 65 with other issues. By the way, the UN, he says, has made the COVID test in Bangladesh, done it in Bangladesh slums, and found 80% have antibodies. I was told by a friend who works at the location.
Shh, quiet.
There's a lot of bull crap going around.
How about all of it, John? How about all of it?
Well, anyway, that's my notes. Sorry.
All right. I'd like
sorry for stretching the segment.
No, that's okay. Thank you all very much. We appreciate it. You're certainly entertaining us, and all of you really do a dynamite, bang-up job of producing. Where can you get this kind of information? Now, you know, NPR has to hire someone who can talk like this, who will then call in pretending to be somewhere in one of these countries in Vietnam, and they would not tell you that everything's named after Trump. So that's the kind of stuff that we get from you, from No Agenda Nation. And we appreciate the support. These are real titles for our execs and our associate executive producers of episode 1334. If you'd like to do it and participate along with them, we have our second Thursday, also known as Sunday, coming up for you. This will be one of our first special shows, but we'd love to hear from you at
Dvorak.org/NA.
And we thank you for your time, your talent, and your treasure producing the best podcast in the universe.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
I know you got a couple of clips here. I would just like to do two entremonts just to get us back into the vibe of how great this podcast is. And we will start with something that anyone who listens to the best podcast in the universe would have known weeks ago. Weeks ago.
Back here at home, Americans are coming out of COVID lockdowns just in time to welcome cicadas. Scientists say billions of the bugs are set to emerge in 18 states. They're from a group called Brood X, which has been underground since 2004. They'll start appearing in about 6 weeks.
Yep. So you knew about that. You were already well prepared. You already have your recipes set, so you can go cook with them. The Great Reset continues. The Great Reset podcast, a fan favorite. I love to listen to it. For a while there, around December, they stopped publishing, but now they're back with a vengeance, and they've brought in some friends. Yes, it's Grover from Sesame Street.
Hello, everybody. It is I, your cute and adorable pal Grover, with a message for listeners of The Great Reset. Well, you are in luck because I know a thing or two about resetting. I reset my alarm clock every morning. But you are talking about resetting the entire world. Now that is a very big job. Well, my friend Ms. Sherry Weston and I are here to help. On Sesame Street, we know that it is very important for children to learn and play every day. And because playtime is so important, we have been thinking of ways to help children all over the world learn and play at home. At first, it was hard when nobody could go to school, and I could not visit my friends like Elmo or, well, even Oscar the Grouch. Then we learned to have video playtime, which was a lot of fun and made us feel better. Now, I know you will want to hear all about it, and so I will now let Miss Sherry be the one to tell you. Okay, bye-bye, everybody!
These guys got too much money floating around producing this junk. That's from their podcast.
So this was serious?
Oh, yeah, this is real. This is real. Oh, yeah.
It's not like a parody, a joke?
No, this was on.
It sounds like this. I thought it was just another guy who could do that voice, doing the voice as a joke.
No, no. This is the level that they've come to.
Holy moly.
Yeah. If that was a joke, it wouldn't be that good. I know, man. It's nuts.
That's what we're up against.
I don't know if we can compete with Grover.
Pretty hard.
It's rough.
Another few things here that I can go. I do a little migration update.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do a migration. What did I have? I had something on the build the wall section. I had.
Let's play this. This is from Fox, and it's got a little zinger in here that's pretty funny that you mentioned earlier in the show. Let's see if you can identify it. Migration crisis comments.
No, the Biden administration, the incoming administration was brief. They said if you end these programs, we're going to see a surge like you've never seen before. They were briefed by leadership at ICE, at CBP. I talked to the people that briefed them. And so they knew this would happen. Look, Brian, I wrote an op-ed in July of last year saying this would happen at the end of these policies. They knew what they were doing. Again, this isn't incompetence. This isn't, you know, bad management. This is open borders. They designed an open borders agenda, and that men and women border patrol feel abandoned because they're no longer enforcing the law. They're facilitating illegal entry at the instruction of the administration.
And you were telling me before they feel abandoned, but you were used the word surge. You offended a congresswoman from Queens, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez. Here's what I'm talking about.
First of all, just gut check, stop. Anyone who's using the term surge around you consciously is trying to invoke a militaristic frame. This is not a surge. These are children, and they are not insurgents, and we are not being invaded.
Congressman, how dare you insult her by using the word surge?
Where is she now, Brian? Why isn't she down here? I can tell you, leading this this delegation of Texas congressmen and former professionals in this very business, we actually asked, after Vice President Kamala Harris was given charge of the border situation by President Biden, we actually invited her. We invited her to come and visit with us at some of these spots on our itinerary. We heard nothing whatsoever.
You know, at this point, and of course I had the AOC clip as well, but not, this was actually a better example. This is boring. It's unproductive. It's completely unnecessary. People get wound up and wrapped up in it. Who gives a flying F about any of this? I mean, we have to deconstruct it because it's our job, but people are checking out. No one is paying attention. Ratings are in the crapper. This is all going away. No one in their right mind gives a crap about what AOC has to say or what Fox has to say. You know, they do. I think they're also not buying that it's just children. I think people actually know what's happening in this case. But this is killing. It's killing this show, too. This is horrible to have to listen. This is dumb. It's unimportant, don't you think?
I don't think completely.
What's the important part?
This is the salvos. This is the salvos against the Biden administration, and we're going to see more kinds of crazy stuff. This is like the Matt Gaetz thing that's going on, because Rick Wilson was called out. The guy, the Lincoln Project, which has been busted for all kinds of things, and now the Republicans have somehow made Rick, one of the main guys there, gay, living an apartment with some other man with a bunch of Russian hookers. Story.
Hold on. What?
You haven't followed that?
Well, you know what? Yes, I've seen the story about the Lincoln Project. Do not care. I'm happy to hear the clips. Don't get me wrong.
I don't have that clip because because what happened after that was the Democrats went after Matt Gaetz.
So you're saying this was in retaliation to some story about this bald guy, the Lincoln Project, who's been discredited.
No, I'm not saying the migration story is, but I think the Matt Gaetz.
Sure. That's what the Matt Gaetz is retaliation for this unimportant loser that they've shit all over the Democratic Party.
Well, you think he's an unimportant loser, but he's quite powerful. And he's a podcaster. So, yeah, the Matt Gaetz thing, I'm convinced of it. I mean, because it came right afterwards. So they go back and forth, these guys. And Matt Gaetz is at a disadvantage because it's the...
But what is the Matt Gaetz thing? What did he do?
Oh, you don't know. Well, here
no,
he is.
No. Why would I... Is it a... To me, I read something about him and his penis, and I was done.
He's been hanging out, apparently, with 17-year-olds, and he's done some other... Oh, and he's a child... He's a... sex trafficker.
Oh, okay. All right. Maybe. Let's find out. Where do I start?
This is Matt Gaetz explains what happened, part one with Tucker.
Just a couple of hours ago, late this afternoon, the New York Times ran a story saying that Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz is under federal investigation for playing some role in sex trafficking and potentially having a relationship with a 17-year-old girl.
Okay, I can stop right now, and I want to hear this. I can already hear the projection from someone who was doing this with Epstein girls. This is a projection from somebody.
Very few details in major news outlets tonight about this story. We have no background on it all and not even any very informed questions. Instead, we've invited Congressman Gaetz on the show to respond to these stories and give us his view of them. Congressman, thanks so much for coming on. Appreciate it. So this is obviously a serious allegation. Tell us what the truth is from your perspective.
It is a horrible allegation, and it is a lie. The New York Times is running a story that I have traveled with a 17-year-old woman, and that is verifiably false. People can look at my travel records and see that that is not the case. What is happening is an extortion of me and my family involving a former Department of Justice official. On March 16th, my father got a text message demanding a meeting wherein a person demanded $25 million in exchange for making horrible sex trafficking allegations against me go away. Our family was so troubled by that, we went to the local FBI. And the FBI and the Department of Justice were so concerned about this attempted extortion of a member of Congress that they asked my dad to wear a wire, which he did with the former Department of Justice official. Tonight, I am demanding that the Department of Justice and the FBI release the audio recordings that were made under their supervision and at their direction, which will prove my innocence and that will show that these allegations aren't true. They're merely intended to try to bleed my family out of money. And this former Department of Justice official tomorrow was supposed to be contacted by my father so that specific instructions could be given regarding the wiring of $4.5 million as a down payment on this bribe. I don't think it's a coincidence that tonight, somehow, the New York Times is leaking this information, smearing me, and ruining the investigation that would likely result in one of the former colleagues of the current DOJ being brought to justice for trying to extort me and my family.
Oh, man. I love the wire part of the story. I hadn't heard that. This is good.
Oh, yeah. The whole thing is pretty good.
Now, who's the attorney? Is this the attorney general? Or this is the federal stuff we're talking about here?
No, this is a guy who was an ex-DOJ guy out of the Obama administration, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, you know, it just brings to mind the commentary from William Binney, who says that why do we have so much crazy, you know, the NSA and the FBI and all these guys, they've got all the goods on everybody.
Yeah.
And they're never using it to solve crimes or do anything like that. They're just using it to
penis stories.
We said this on the show before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always
a blackmailing operation run by the government.
It's all they care about. Where did you put your penis? Okay, now you have to do what we tell you to do.
So here we go with part two. I like the fact that he names names here, and then but he still has the same story to tell, which is why don't they give up this
the tape
with the wire recorded? I don't know. Here he goes.
Could it be one of those? Oh man, the hard drive crashed. Sorry.
First of all, who is this Department of employee who's trying to extort the money?
Yeah, who is that?
You say.
His name is David McGee. He was a top official in the leadership in the Northern District of Florida as a prosecutor. He currently works at the Beggs and Lane law firm. As a matter of fact, one of the recordings that was made at the FBI and Department of Justice request occurred at that law firm. And the money that was supposed to be paid today that would have shown even more evidence of David McGee's work in this extortion scheme, that was foiled by the New York Times story. And I believe that's why this horrible information and these terrible allegations have been used this evening.
So you're, and I'll get to the investigation in a sec, but you're saying that David McGee was motivated by greed. He was trying to extort money from your family. That's his motivation, you're saying.
I know that there was a demand for money in exchange for a commitment that he could make this investigation go away along with his co-conspirators. They even claimed to have specific connections inside the Biden White House. Now, I don't know if that's true. They were promising that Joe Biden would pardon me. Obviously, I don't need a pardon. I'm not seeking a pardon. I have not done anything improper or wrong. But what I am troubled by is the real motivation for all of this. You know, just tonight, Ted Lieu, a Democrat, is calling on me to be removed from the House Judiciary Committee. And I believe we are in an era of our politics now, Tucker, where people are smeared to try to take them out of the conversation. I'm not the only person on screen right now who's been falsely accused of a terrible sex act. You were accused of something that you did not do. And so you know what this feels like. You know the pain it can bring to your family. And you know how it just puts people on defense when you're accused of something so salacious and awful. But it did not happen. It is not true. And the fact that it is the basis of this attempt to extort my family tells a lot. And if the FBI and Department of Justice will release the tapes that they are in possession of, the American people will see what is really going on.
Well, now, here is a young man who I hear is in trouble with something. Something's messed up. And why doesn't he just say what's on the tape? 5 minutes and he didn't tell us what's on the tape. Why don't you tell us what's on the tape?
Well, I don't know.
Because?
Does he know exactly what's on the tape?
His dad was wiretapped. His dad wore a wire.
I don't know.
I'm sure his dad told him. It also seems to be something with his dad and not necessarily around him.
Well, dad's the bag man.
His dad's the bag man?
That's what it sounds like.
That could be true. So this David McGee, he's no slouch. He was the first assistant at the United States Attorney's Office for 7 years and as lead attorney for United States Department of Justice Organized Crime Task Force. So when his dad may be being the bag man, I don't know, this is weird. It's weird. I think it has less to do with Matt Gaetz and more with his father. It's just my guess from what I'm hearing. But it's a penis story, so headlines. Crazy.
It's a good one.
Huh?
I mean, we can go back to our normal programming, which is to find things to ridicule about Joe Biden.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I like this. Don't get me wrong. I like it because now I see there's some depth to it. This is not just the media about some story about a 17-year-old. That's for the shallow. But what's going on underneath, I think, is something perhaps much more interesting. We'll see.
I'd like to know how the New York Times is connected to that. That place is getting all the good leaks.
Well, they got.
I hate to do this because it's not Sunday. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got some 5, 6 Biden clips.
Now, this is from his infrastructure pitch where he's telling us.
I have a couple of old clips that I didn't pull from his presser that I wanted to play because we talked about them, but I never had them. And including, let's start with this one. Which I did a little sweetening on this so you could hear what I think was important. I had it repeated in the clip.
Mm-hmm.
And this is about Joe Biden when he was asked about leaving Afghanistan.
So what we've been doing and what Secretary Blinken has been doing has been we've been meeting with our allies, those other nations that have NATO allies who have troops in Afghanistan as well. And if we leave, we're going to do so in a safe and orderly way.
Man, something's wrong with your clip. What was your sweetening?
No, I said, I repeated the important part, which was if we leave.
Ah, okay. It was a little confusing. Let me play that part again.
Guys who have troops in Afghanistan as well. And if we leave, we're going to do so in a safe and orderly way.
I wanted to make it clear.
You should have done a little.
I could have done a lot of different things. But I wanted to make it clear that he keeps saying, if we leave.
Yeah.
We're not leaving.
No. It's the poppy field.
There is no chance we're leaving Afghanistan.
We're not letting the Chinese, the Russians, or anybody.
Nobody's taking those poppies.
No one's taking those poppies. Them's our poppies.
Yep.
That's our trade.
It provides billions of dollars for the CIA's black budget people.
Yeah.
Working in the round. So that every company you work for has got some spook there that's making checking
out. And you know, you can go send over your rebuilding teams, your construction stuff, and put some more poppy protection. It's a never ending thing. It's beautiful. And it's a joke at this point. Haven't we played clips of the inspector general for the whole operation? He's like, this is sick. He's just sick. This is so horrible how much money's being wasted. Don't you remember that?
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
Here's the other one that I pulled from the original presser that I just thought this was rude. I thought he was very testy about this, and I still to this day don't understand why he reacted the way he did.
You also just made some news by saying that you are going to run for re-election.
I said that is my expectation.
So is that a yes that you are running for re-election?
Look, I don't know where you guys come from, man. I've never been able to travel. I'm a great respecter of fate. I've never been able to plan 4.5, 3.5 years ahead for certain.
And if you do run, will Vice President Harris be on your ticket?
I would fully expect that to be the case. She's doing a great job. She's a great partner.
Yeah.
He was very irked about that question.
Yeah, that's
why
I picked up on that too, because he knows that he's out in 3 weeks. He
3 weeks.
Hey.
Then he talks about fate.
Yeah, exactly. He knows about fate. I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, you do, Joe. She's right behind you.
Okay, now here he is in Pittsburgh. I got those out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with this one. This is Biden, the union guy. I want to ask a question after this clip is played.
So what you did was really good. I couldn't do what you do, pal. I couldn't do what you do. And I want to, and it's true, Mike, you're a union guy. Me too. I got in trouble, but I don't make any apologies for it. I'm a union guy. I support unions. Unions built the middle class. It's about time they start to get a piece of the action.
Wow. Liar.
What union was he ever in?
He's a liar. He's not in a union.
He's never been in. Did you ever know him ever to be? Is he in the SAG?
Well, he may be in SAG, actually. All politicians are in SAG after these days.
Not a union guy. I'm a union guy. I am a union guy.
Sorry, I'm a union guy. Me? Yeah, I'm SAG after.
I've been a member of three different unions, the machinists, the UAW, United Auto Workers. I've been in two different locals. I'm a union guy. I can say I've been a union guy. This guy can't say that. This is false valor, or whatever it's called, stolen valor. He's not a union guy. He's never been in a union.
Stolen valor. I like that. Stolen valor of being in a union. Wow, valor.
Same thing.
Valor.
And so I think it's a valorous thing. Valorious. Let's go. Now we get to hear slowly creeps back in as we valor. Get our total reset.
You're going to get hate mail for that. Stolen valor is taken very seriously. But we understand.
But it's like someone saying I'm a cop. I mean, I believe the stolen valor just doesn't apply to the military.
Okay. All right.
It's being full of shit is what it is.
Yeah, well, why don't we just call it that? Stop being full of shit, President Joe. Sorry, kids.
Biden, I don't think I'm going to get hate mail.
No, I already...
I'm inviting it. Biden on high speed... Here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
High speed rail is back.
If you and your family could travel coast to coast without a single tank of gas on board a high-speed train and connect high-speed, affordable, reliable internet wherever you live. Imagine knowing that you are handing your children and grandchildren a country that will lead the world in producing clean energy technology and will need to address one of the biggest threats of our time. That's what we'll do.
Oh, baby, I'm so happy it's back.
All aboard, train's good, plane's bad.
Except his predecessor, President Obama, did it much better.
Hey, imagine boarding a train in the center of a city. No racing to an airport and across the terminal. No delays, no sitting on the tarmac, no lost luggage, no taking off your shoes.
No taking off your shoes. That was a president. What is this?
You and your family could travel coast to coast without a single tank of gas.
on board a high-speed train and connect high-speed, affordable, reliable internet wherever you live.
Internet. High-speed, affordable internet. All right. Thanks, Joe. Now, Obama did that well, and that didn't last. Yeah. That didn't last, his train thing.
That now, here's another one bad. That had me somewhat bad. His, you know, this, I blame this, a lot of this on the speech writers. He doesn't know how to hire people. Biden on interstate highways. Now, listen to this carefully and tell me what's wrong with this.
In America, anything's possible.
That's wrong right there. Nothing's possible anymore. So I'd say that's where it starts.
In America, anything's possible. Like what we did with vaccines a decade ago that laid the foundation for COVID-19 vaccines we have today. Like we did when the interstate highway system that transformed the way we traveled, lived, worked, and developed. Americans could visit relatives anywhere in the country with just a family station wagon. Business here in Pittsburgh could load up a truck and get a product to Portland or Phoenix. To this day, about a quarter of all the miles Americans drive each year on one of those very original highways. Imagine what we can do, what's within our reach when we modernize those highways.
Okay.
The interstate highway system is not one of those quote unquote original highways.
No, not at all.
They were put in play in the 50s and really got going in the 60s and 70s. And those are the interstate system that Eisenhower put together. The original highways are Highway 66, Route 66, you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Highway 50, Highway 40, these cross country, you know, the Lincoln Highway. Those are the original highways, and some of them are still in existence. So he's mixing up one another, because I think he's got millennials that don't know anything writing these speeches.
Now, wasn't the interstate highway was partly an infrastructure project, but it was also in combination with the loop in Chicago? You know, wasn't it the intent that you could land a military aircraft on some of these highways if necessary?
There was a military angle to the interstate system, yes.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
It was kind of like, the reason the Champs-Élysées is so wide is because Napoleon III decided to make these big giant roads through Paris so they could march the troops in and out of town.
Yeah, okay. I buy that.
Oh.
I buy that.
Huh. Now.
Wow, that was, but you're correct. It's very poor. No one calls him out on it. Complete deficit to the knowledge of the country.
If it was Trump, it'd be a lie.
Yeah. Lie, fact check, false. We got to write them down. We'll put it in the database. Whoppo, whoppo, put it in the database. In the database.
Fact check, false.
And the last one I have is just Biden on the passport.
Thank you. Thank you, Congressman, for the passport in your district. And I appreciate being here.
So he goes on starts off a speech, he talks the passport into your district. I think that he dropped that little coinage in there for the purposes of maybe easing people into the idea of needing a passport to go into Pittsburgh or New York, which New York wants to do, or San Francisco or Chicago. This is your new jobs. We got a bunch of guys, guards outside of San Francisco. Check passport, sir. Passport.
No, you don't really think that's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen, but I think it'd be not. I think they'd like it to happen.
Wow!
Employs a lot of people.
You know, this is. It's. I think it's going to fail. I think they're going. Maybe for the sports fans and the stadium. And by the way, that's where if I were to suggest anyone. Do anything malicious, the way to do it is have a big, 20,000, 30,000 seater. We have those, don't we? Yeah. I mean, shit, we do. We have 100,000 here in Austin, I think. And, of course, we'll have some.
You can, 100,000 is about our limit.
That's what we have here in Austin.
Yeah, most of the big stadiums are 60, 70.
Right. And so then you'll have your damn app, and that's when you need to go in. You need to strike, and everyone just gets denied entry. Everybody denied entry. Yeah, so that just becomes a shit show. And then
so nobody can get in. The game starts.
And then we'll see how much they care about you and your COVID. They'll be like, let them in.
Let them in. Let them in. I do have one thing that Biden said about cyber, and this clip is called Cyber Initiatives. And I call it Cyber Initiatives Biden BS.
In the wake of cyber attacks against the U.S., President Biden is preparing a wide-ranging executive order designed to strengthen online security. NPR's Greg Myrie explains the administration has been investigating an intrusion that's been widely blamed on Russia.
The head of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, previewed the coming presidential moves during remarks to a technology conference.
To advance the federal government's ability to prevent and respond to cyber incidents, the administration is working on nearly a dozen actions for an upcoming executive order.
Mayorkas didn't provide details, but at least some measures are expected to be in response to the breach of thousands of U.S. computer networks. Russia is the main suspect. The DHS secretary also said the cybersecurity arm of his department, known as CISA, is stepping up efforts to address online financial crimes such as ransomware.
Wow.
Okay, I'm gonna ask, I have a question.
Yeah.
What executive order? What can you write in an executive order that's going to do jack?
Oh no!
About cyber anything?
No, you write an executive order that says, "Stop it,
Putin. Stop it,
stop it, Poot, Vlad, stop it. I don't like it." Let's talk about China. So the ship got unblocked from the Suez Canal.
The massive cargo ship that blocked the Suez Canal for nearly a week is being inspected today after being freed from the shore. Officials say it will take 3 days just to clear the traffic jam of ships delayed by the closure. Investigators looking into what caused the ship to run aground are expected to examine the performance of two canal pilots who were on board. In the meantime, lots of celebrating. The canal's closure was costing nearly $10 billion a day in global trade losses.
So there was an article in RT. It was an op-ed by Tom Foudy, a British writer and analyst of politics and international relations, who said that what was coming down because of this here, Suez Canal blockage could alter shipping forever, and China and Russia will be the winners. And they talk specifically, and I had not even heard about this, so they have the China-Europe railway routes, which is part of the Belt and Road Initiative, which is going to be faster than any shipping lane. They have some gauge issues, but it's happening. And China, and I've been hearing so much about the Arctic region, global warming, climate change has altered things with the ice. And now there's talk of the Polar Silk Road, which will speed up shipping. Which may have, of course, that's why Trump was interested in Greenland at the time. There are benefits to things that are happening here, whether China was behind it or not. But China is most definitely on the defense regarding the World Health Organization and the origin of the Wuhan virus. And I have a clip here from both Scott Gottlieb, he's a former FDA guy, and Fauci, the day before the World Health Organization report was released, which is now out, what they thought would be in it and where they thought this virus originated from. And maybe if we listen closely, we can hear who's aligned with who.
On the report that's forthcoming from the World Health Organization, it's supposed to be about the origins of COVID. And the Biden administration has been clear that they are concerned that Beijing helped write it. I want to play for you a soundbite from a scientist named Dr. Jamie Metzl, who spoke to 60 Minutes and said the WHO did not even ask for key samples of the virus.
It was agreed first that China would have veto power over who even got to be on the mission. Secondly,
and WHO agreed to that.
WHO agreed to that. On top of that, the WHO agreed that in most instances, China would do the primary investigation and then just share its findings with these international experts. So these international experts weren't allowed to do their own primary investigation.
Wait, you're saying that China did the investigation and showed the results to the committee, and that was it?
I loved Leslie Stahl, how she acts like she's surprised. What? She's like an Oprah wannabe. What color your child was? What? What, China wanted to do it themselves? No.
You're saying that China did her. the investigation.
Yeah, totally.
Investigation and showed the results to the committee, and that was it.
Pretty much that was it. Not entirely, but pretty much that was it. Imagine if we had asked the Soviet Union to do a co-investigation of Chernobyl. It doesn't really make sense.
Do you expect this World Health Organization report to be a whitewash?
You know, I don't know, Margaret. What I would like to do is first see the report. I think that's really important. You're getting a lot of conjecture around about what they did and what they were allowed to do and not. No one has been speaking specifically about that. When the report comes out, I'd like to take a really close look at that. And if, in fact, obviously, there was a lot of restrictions on the ability of the people who went there to really take a look, then I'm going to have some considerable concern about that. But let me take a look at the report first.
All right, so that was CBS. Now, this is important because I have CBS, ABC, and NBC. Next, we have CBS face the Nazis with Scott Gottlieb.
When it comes to the World Health Organization report on the origins of this, you and I have spoken about...
Is she saying report? Is she not doing that, Nora? Report?
When it comes to the World Health Organization report on the origins of this,
Margaret.
You and I have spoken about this
in the past.
We've had Matt Pottinger, the former Deputy National Security Ambassador to President Trump, on.
She did.
I know Dr. Redfield has spoken to CNN, the former CDC director, about his theories on the origin of COVID. To be clear here, when it comes to this report, you said you believe the most likely scenario on the origins of COVID was that it was just bouncing back and forth between people and animals for a period of time and finally broke out. But you said the lab theory is never going to be fully dispelled, and the World Health Organization shouldn't walk away from that so easily. Do you expect them to walk away from that when this report comes out?
It looks like the WHO report was an attempt to try to support the Chinese narrative around this origin of the vaccine. You know, the lab leak theory doesn't seem like a plausible theory unless you aggregate the biggest collection.
Wait, hold on.
Of.
Yes.
Did you notice that one of your collectibles was in there?
No, I didn't, for two reasons. One, you're either clicking your pen or doing something else.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know you are. Which everyone thinks you're clipping your toenails because that's what it sounds like, strangely. Two, our server system has been, for months, we get attacks. And we had a good one during this China segment. We had a good one. The stream went down. There was a net split on the IRC. And that was some shit that just happened. It was like a huge glitch in the matrix
just now.
Yeah, while we're playing this clip, everyone was dizzy from it. The whole a net split on IRC is interesting when that takes place. It was pretty cool. Anyway, let me hear what you were talking about.
That when this report comes out,
it looks like the WHO report was an attempt to try to support the Chinese narrative around this origin of the vaccine. You know, the lab leak theory doesn't seem like-
I missed that one. Wow. Jeez. And that's why there's two of us.
Or the Chinese narrative around this origin of the vaccine. You know, the lab leak theory doesn't seem like a plausible theory unless you aggregate the biggest collection of coronaviruses and put them in a lab, a minimum security lab in the middle of a densely populated center and experiment on animals, which is exactly what the Wuhan Institute of Virology did. They were using these viruses in a BSL-2 lab and we now know infecting animals. So that creates the opportunity for a lab leak. It might not be the most likely scenario in how this virus got out, but it has to remain a scenario. And I think at the end of the day, we're never going to fully discharge that possibility. What we're going to have here is a battle of competing narratives.
Let's stop for a second and go over some of the logic,
which, yes, it's just as logical as you got to wear a mask after you're vaccinated.
The logic of, well, it's anything but this lab that specializes in working on, it's not a low-end lab, it's a high-end lab that's associated with some of our labs.
I know.
They develop pathogens for military purposes and for other purposes. There's not just the bad people, but they're working on nothing but corona in the middle of Wuhan where the thing broke out. But no. There's no logic to that. Well, it doesn't make any sense. It obviously came from a bat or a wombat or who knows what. And a year goes by, they can't find the animal.
I can't find where it came from. What is that building I keep bumping into? But I can't find where it came from.
That doesn't make any sense that it would come from that building.
This is,
I don't get it. I don't do not get the idea that this doesn't make any sense when it's the only thing that makes sense. This is a classic example of a 1984 type scenario. It's just, you don't believe your lying eyes.
This is what Naomi Wolf is starting to understand. This is literal mind control. This is brainwashing. It's also gaslighting. It's all, you fill in the,
oh, it's
fill
gaslighting
in the blank
to the extreme.
Fill in the blank, whatever you want. And this, it's these kinds of things where it's just so blatant. So blatant.
I don't have a problem with the theory that they want to promote, which is it came from some animal. Find me the animal.
But you Where's know this what, animal? John? This is
it a pangolin?
This is, again, the problem. No one watches. Really, there's no, I mean, how many people watch the news? You and I watch. Just a couple million people, but no.
10 million people watch the news.
Okay. And those 10 million people are probably not on Twitter arguing about headlines about the news, because that's what it's become. Headline. And so no one is informed, and then they don't have the patience without subtitles to watch the news and listen and absorb what's being said. Just like, oh, okay, well, I'll take whatever.
Well, that's why they're lined up for the shot.
Here's ABC.
And one other headline overnight, a new report from the World Health Organization finds animals were the likely source of COVID-19. Researchers say the transmission from bats to humans through another animal is the most likely scenario. They say a leak from a Chinese lab was, quote, extremely unlikely. The results were expected. China's government teamed up with the WHO on this study.
Teamed up. They teamed up. Hey. Hey, guys, we're here to team up with you. Let's do NBC, who at least had a copy of the leaked report.
Tonight, NBC News has obtained a leaked copy of a highly anticipated 123-page report addressing the question, where did COVID come from? The World Health Organization's joint study with China concluding the exact route of exposure to people is unknown. It continues, circumstantial evidence supports a range of potential spillover parts. Pathways, most likely bats to humans, perhaps involving another animal. And it says a laboratory origin of the pandemic was considered extremely unlikely.
I just gotta stop. The irony that this laboratory is extremely unlikely is hilarious, contrasted with the vaccine is not, you know, this people's flesh is falling off, the blood clots, dying, but it's not the vaccine. I mean, it's crazy the world we're in and what people will believe.
Critics say the WHO team only made brief visits to the Wuhan Institute of Virology and never received all the information they requested from Chinese officials. Just last week, a former CDC director saying,
I still think the most likely etiology of this pathogen in Wuhan was from a laboratory, escaped.
Adding to the mystery tonight, NBC News confirming through patents that the Wuhan Institute of Virology had been taking live bats from the wild since at least 2009, and in some cases, keeping them for years. In a 2018 patent, the WIV demonstrated it had designed cages for breeding bats. Today, the WHO saying nothing should be ruled out.
All hypotheses are on the table and warrant complete and further studies.
But tonight, other scientists have called for an independent investigation, noting that every conclusion in this report had to be signed off by China.
Here's a thought. Since it's a rudderless administration, Lord knows who was really calling the shots and saying, here's what we should do. At least with Trump, it was probably him. We have no idea who was in charge of this. Is it possible that they're trying to leverage this one report against the Chinese again for the spanking that our American team was given in Anchorage? You think that, and they just suck at it because they can't really quite control the media? It's all over the map. I don't know. There's something is wrong with this reporting.
Well, the problem I'm having with it is it's all from the same checklist.
Mm-hmm.
Not
the building. Not that building. The one that has bats in cages. No.
There's always 2 points made in every one of these reports, exactly the same 2 points.
Mm.
So that bothers me. I mean, this is coming from a source. I'm not sure where the source is, so we can figure that out. It might be useful. I don't know.
Mm.
It's definitely talking points more than it is reporting.
Oh, for sure. I'm still not convinced that we aren't in some kind of economic hit job by China. Even though it was a little bit of a slowdown, you know, I cracked the screen on my phone. I called around. Yeah, it's dumb. I dropped it. Called around because I'm very partial to this phone. It's my OTG phone. It's running Graphene OS. I'd like to keep this one. No screens to be found because of the ship is the answer now. No screens. No, I take that to be true. They said none of our suppliers have any. Got a note here. Kenworth Trucks, one of our producers, is having a shortage of chips, just like the car manufacturers. We have 500.
Chip shortage, which is the real.
Already started. Yeah, it was already underway.
It already started before the.
That's what I'm saying. So
yeah, this is bull crap. This is something. You're right. Something's going on. We don't know what it is, do we?
No.
Mr. Jones.
Well, we don't know for sure, but I'm just saying all you would need is a 6-day delay. It makes a big difference. Now, would we run out of toilet paper? No. Too bad, by the way. The fire would have been great. We were all excited. We were wrong. 500 trucks are assembled, but waiting for a component affected by shortages. I was talking with another supplier, and parts coming to the East Coast are delayed by the stuck ship. So that's a problem. And at the same time, chip fabs are on the brink of being closed if a tax hike, which I don't know if that can even happen, of the corporate tax rate goes back up to, 28? And they'll start closing fabs. This could be a chokehold. We could be George Floyded here by China. And got their knee on our neck.
Well,
we're high on fentanyl, baby. We've got excited delirium. So this could not be a good thing. NTD, who I think the first time I heard of NTD is when you brought clips from NTD. Is this another Epoch Times?
No, there's a Taiwanese operation. Oh, that's right, Taiwanese. They're so shady with the Epoch Times.
Right, it's Taiwanese. They had a very interesting report.
In the middle of escalating tensions between China and the U.S., a speech from 5 years ago is going viral. In it, a Chinese Communist Party insider reveals how the regime plans to get the U.S. out of its way so that communism spreads around the world. The plan is detailed and ranges from manipulating U.S. elections to propping up enemies in America's backyard to deep infiltration, all the while in a quiet and covert manner. The bombshell speech is now making a splash online. So far, the original video hasn't been found, but the transcript is circulating widely on the internet. The original speech was given by a famous expert in China named Jing Chanrong. He's known for his expertise on American issues. He also enjoys a high position at one of China's top universities. Multiple China experts say Jing's speech is credible, as his main points line up with the Chinese regime's actions over the past few decades.
All right.
Okay, well, I have a problem immediately.
Okay.
Is this guy dead?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, I'd like to know if he's dead, A, and if he's not dead, has anyone got a hold of him at the university that he works at and asked him if this is what he said? It wouldn't take that much work, even in China.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's what I have a problem with.
I have not done the work. I'm sorry.
I don't expect you to. The work should have been done by someone else.
Yes.
If this has been going around the way it's been going around, I think I'm familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
Someone should check with this guy because there's questions about his validity, whether it's true, because there's so many hoaxes. Mm-hmm. You know, the people, here's what so-and-so said. Mm-hmm. And then this guy never said it.
Right. All right.
So it could be bogative.
Hey, we got some good meetup reports and stuff to get to. So with your approval.
I'm going to show my support by donating to No Agenda. Imagine all the people who could do that. Oh, yeah, that'd be fab.
Yeah, on No Agenda. In the morning.
Well, we do have people to thank, and I should plow through their names.
Plow, baby.
Plow. Plow. And that's beginning with, let's see what we got here. Sir Ryan Benson in Tampa, Florida, 133.40. He's got a birthday. He's got a little note there. You might want to read it. Jen Strauss in Portland, Oregon, 100. Sir Dave Pugh, Baron of the Pew Pews. Pew, pew, pew. In Massillon, Ohio, $100. Got a lot of hundreds today, thank you.
Sir Ryan wanted some back healing karma. We'll get that for you.
The end. Yep. Dave Scanlon in Milwaukee, Oregon. Didn't even know there was a Milwaukee, Oregon. $100. Adrian Dannemeyer in Boston, Massachusetts, $100. Paul Branham in Greeley, Colorado, 8118. Sir Nicholas in Their River Falls, that's what it says, Minnesota, 77.77. Need some karma at the end. We'll give it there for it for you there. Sir Lancelot in Metairie, Louisiana, 77.24. Jeff Millett in Pacific Grove, California, 6972, and he needs a de-douche.
Yes, I'm sorry. We need to do one thing here.
You've been de-douched.
Sir Laugh-A-Lot becomes a, I believe, becomes a knight today. Thank you for your great work. Enjoy your well-earned vacation. Damehood, I'm sorry. This completes the damehood for my dog, Maggie.
Oh, yeah. I have no objection to it, but we were talking about this. People knighting their dogs and cats.
There's 90 million of them, John. Defender of the rescued black labs. Black labs matter. If you can, please play Dogs Are People Too.
Dogs are people too.
Well, in this case, dogs are knights and dames.
Dames. Dogs are dames.
This is a dame hound.
Yes.
Or damehood. A dame hound.
Yes. Dogs are dames. That's it.
Jeff Millett, we'll deal with the implications of that. Jeff Millett in Pacific Grove, California. I mentioned him, 6972, and he's a de-douching.
Yeah, we did that. Didn't we do that?
Tyler Barboza in Warren, Rhode Island, 6666. Christine Hines in Manchester, New Hampshire, 57. Jonathan Evans in New Orleans, 5678. Sir Bebop, Knight of the Frozen Tundra. He's somewhere in there where it's cold. 5678. 5678. Sir Ian Garling of the Garlings, the big Garling family up there, 5678 in Port Angeles. We're gonna one of these days do a meetup at one of their bars in Ballard. Peter Chong in Lakewood, Washington, 5510. Mary Pilgrim in Fredericksburg, Virginia, 5510. Sir Price, Knight of Astonishment. Yukon, Oklahoma, 5444. They kick out of these town names and offbeat places. Chris Kimmich in Sachi. What is it? It's Texas.
I have no idea how you pronounce that. Sachi?
S-A-C.
Probably Sachi. Sachi.
Sachi, Texas. Sachi. 5033. Alex Kosherek in Tarpon Springs. Tarpon Springs. That's it. 5033. Robert Stotz. He's a sir in San Diego, California. 5005. Scott Nelson, who's also, I believe, a sir. 5001 in Council Bluffs, Iowa. The last of the group here are $50 donors. Name and location as applicable. Shirley O'Brien in Dover. Dover, New Jersey. Robert McClellan. Timothy Moore in Arlington, Texas. Arlington. Jonathan Riesman in St. Louis, Missouri. Tony Lang in Castle Pines, Colorado. Sir Alan Bean up there. Oh, now he's in Beaverton. He moved from Tigard. However he pronounces it. Leanne Shipley in Covington, Washington. And as we wrap it up with Aichi Kitagawa in San Francisco. And finally, Rodney Lillibridge in Lewiston, Idaho. Seems like the wrong states for every one of these cities except San Francisco.
It's weird, isn't it? Yeah.
Okay.
We have a couple of make goods. Jacobus Esterhausen from 1333. somehow the note went wrong or we misunderstood, but really he was a first-time listener, a long-time listener, first-time donor. He says, really, this was the important part. My dad was diagnosed with lung cancer caused by asbestos earlier this month. Donation was for surgery karma that happened on show day here in Australia, Monday to the 29th, to permanently fuse his lung to his chest. Luckily, karma works in mysterious ways because draining 3.5 liters of fluid and successful fusing, he got 70% of his lung capacity back. Still a long way to go, but a very good start. So he wanted an F cancer health karma for him, and that we had not gotten to.
You've got karma.
And Sir Proteus, who by his own admission wrote a very long note explaining his venture, his business, his framework, and he donated, and then somehow he said he kind of forgot that if he wanted to mention the URL, that would be helpful, or at least a concise description of what it was. It's the Yougle Web Services, Yougle.ws. And this is for people that freedom online through technology they own and control. It's an OTG concept. It's open source project to design and deliver critical software infrastructure that the average person can own and use. So if you want to work on that, Yougle.ws. And we thank them, of course, for their previous donations. And we thank everybody who produced episode 1334 of the No Agenda Show. We really thank you so much. Also, people under 50 who do that for reasons of anonymity. And you can find out what else you can do under that $50 level, which is a great way for sustaining donations with one of our many programs you can subscribe to. For more information on that, go to
Dvorak.org/NA.
Brand new month, and one day late, but we have Dave Basor saying happy birthday to his daughter Sarah, who turned 31 on the 22nd. Oh, a little bit more than one day. He also says happy birthday to his wonderful son Joshua. Did I get that? So daughter Sarah, Joshua 22 on March 24th. There we go. We got it figured out. Aileen Saar says happy birthday to her knight in shining armor Drew, who turned 67 on the 30th. Scott Reinhardt, happy birthday to his smoking hot wife Carla, who celebrates today. Sir A.J. Reistat, Baron of Yellowstone, happy birthday to his daughter Katie, turns 14 on April 2nd. Anonymous celebrates on April 2nd. Sir Ryan Benson, 39 on the 2nd. Jen Strauss, happy birthday to her favorite person, Dwayne Parker. Carissa Mulan, happy birthday to her longtime boyfriend, Scott Manning, who's turning 50. And finally, we say happy birthday to Jason Michalowski. Happy birthday from everybody here at the best podcast in the universe. Got one. Let me see. We have two. We have two dames, and we've got one knight. So that's a little unbalanced, but it doesn't happen often.
It's balanced as far as I'm concerned. Here's the blade.
Nice. Daniel Taggart, Black Lab Maggie, Pickle, and Drew Soar. Hop on up here on the podium, all of you. All right, welcome here at the round table. We have a little special one for our Black Lab Maggie. You have all supported the No Agenda Show in the amount of $1,000 or more. That gives you your absolute right here at the round table of the No Agenda Knights and Dames and the Hound Dames. So I hereby proudly pronounce to Kate the Dame Taggart, Dame Maggie, protector of the rescued Black Labs, and Sir Grumpy Old Boomer. For you, we've got the Hookers and Blow, Rent Boys and Chardonnay, Ale and Soft Molasses cookies. We got sparkling cider and escorts, ginger ale and gerbils, and mutton and mead, of course. I guess Dame Maggie will enjoy all of that. Go to noagendanation.com/rings. Have Eric the Shill help you out with the appropriate size. I'm not quite sure what we're going to do.
At least
with...
you didn't get bit.
Right? Hey, no mean dogs here. Like Joe Biden has.
Biden's dog's bit twice now.
I know.
It's not good.
It's an outrage. It's an outrage. Let's go to our meetups because there's a lot going on. We got a couple of reports too.
No Agenda Meetups.
You know, what started as kind of just a fun thing has really exploded now that countries and places around the world are opening up. I mean, have you seen this list? It's crazy. It's really insane how long it is. Let's see how the Houston Super Spreader meetup went.
This is Brian at the Raging Houston Super Spreader event. We have lots of variant mutants showing up, and they can talk.
In the morning from the rodeo goat. Hola, soy Rolando. In the morning.
Team Sarah here with the whole family.
1, 2, 3.
In the morning.
This is Aaron, and I finally made it to one.
In the morning.
And Pensacola, Florida also had a meetup and a report.
Hey, this is Skipbutt. Pensacola Beach, meet up in the morning!
Okay, guys, this is Gabbot. We did have a great time in Florida, but the thing is, my Tim Apple iPhone, this, you know, the smartphone, didn't work. It only recorded some of the stuff, and there was a few couples that showed up. One of them showed up twice. We had a great time. People, I really urge you to do this. Anyways, adios, my folks.
Always nice to abuse the children for the show. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right, let's see what's coming up. We have one promo for Kansas City. Doesn't happen often. I appreciate the effort that went into this.
In what seemed like any ordinary donation segment,
Sir Belo's next.
One extraordinary knight stepped forward.
And he's in St. Joseph or St. Joe, Missouri.
To offer his fellow producers courage in a time of fear.
Mention No Agenda at the Felix Street Pub in St. Joseph, Missouri for a free shot of courage.
Whoa, John, are you sure that's what it said? Could you read that again?
Mention No Agenda at the Felix Street Pub in St. Joseph, Missouri for a free shot.
Join the Kansas City Meetup Crew Saturday, April 17th at 3:33 p.m. at the Felix Street Pub in St. Joe. RSVP at noagendameetups.com.
Someone's got to report back on what happens. Okay. Oh, man, getting creative. Here are the meetups coming up for today. The Viroqua, Wisconsin Driftless Douchebag Didgeridoo Jamboree, 6:30 at Liberty Bar in Viola. Tomorrow, meetup near SLC. That'll be in Lehi, Utah at 6 o'clock. Also on Friday, the Houston Hackers meetup at 6 at Ninfa's Mexican Cantina. Smoking Hot Tacos in Jackson, Madison, Mississippi. You're welcome at 7:30 tomorrow at the Sombra Mexican Kitchen. On Saturday, the Massless Man Dem Quarantine Report, 3 o'clock at the Cottage in Toronto, Ontario. The Brooklyn, New York meetup takes place at 5 Saturday at the Ocean's Bar and Grill in Brownstone Billiards. Then also on Saturday, Senator Jesse Coy Nelson's Senate Committee meetup in Busan, Korea. Now it says, he sent me a note about this, he says Seoul time is listed. The Saturday meetup is in Busan. That is the one that I am hosting. But because Seoul time is listed, it might have been mislabeled in the notes. I'm not quite sure, but please make sure that you check with Jesse and contact him for the meetup on Saturday. Also on Saturday, the Well-Informed Protest in Plano, Texas, up north here at 7:30 at Katy Trail Outpost. On Tuesday, the North Central Indiana Protest Against Tyranny at 6 o'clock at Mad Anthony's Tap House. On April 8th, a Thursday, a week from now, the State Line Mask-Friendly Meetup, 6 o'clock at the Boxpars Pub and Grub in Clinton, Wisconsin. And Friday, next Friday, that is, not this one, La Noche and Palma de Mallorca World Tour 33. That will be in Hotel Ruy Concordia Pool Bar in Playa de Palma in Spain. Ask for Alex. Sounds like a cool meetup. We are so behind in our meetups. And then there's just a whole mess of them I don't even have time to read today. So go to noagendameetups.com. This is where people come together. It's a mind meld. You'll find that's where the 5% come together. You all have some basic understanding of what you're thinking about, what you want, what others want. You have no problem conversing because you're intelligent, and hanging out with similar people is fun. And they're not who you'd expect they would be. NoAgendaMeetups.com. Go ahead. It's easy. And it's like a pot egg.
Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days. You want to be where you want me. Triggered on hell's flame. You want to be where everybody feels the same. It's like a pot egg.
Got an end to show ISO, John?
I have two to check.
Okay. Odd ISO checks.
I got duped.
Okay, duped.
Reporters were duped.
Okay, not bad.
Gut check.
Gut check. Stop.
Ooh, I like that. I only have one.
People have got to understand vaccination is going to be, in the end, your route to liberty.
Too long.
Ooh, that's really long.
Yeah, it's too long. I like the gut check, honestly.
Gut check, stop.
Yeah, yeah, that's, what is that from? I like that.
That's a Casio Cortez.
Oh, that's Cortez.
Sandy O.
I have some noodle gun stuff, which we can skip. Not skip, but I'll take it. No, I guess we're going to skip it.
Why?
Because by the time we do another show, we got a best of show coming up, don't we? Or we have, what's our special show? What's the next show?
We have two special shows coming up.
No, wait, we do a show on Sunday.
But not Sunday.
No, not Sunday.
We've got a Sunday show to do.
I'm so confused. It's the first Thursday of the Wednesday week for me. I don't know where I am anymore. I need to go.
You will be going after the next show, and the next show will be on Sunday, and I would rather you do that now so we don't have the Sunday show full of stuff.
Well, what are you going to do on the Sunday show? What do you mean? You don't like my stuff?
No, your stuff is, you're going to be doing the Sunday show. You're not leaving
the
Sunday.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, so I can take this.
Well, if you're going to move it to Sunday, that means we're going to have too much stuff on Sunday, don't you think?
Well, maybe there's nothing happening on Sunday.
That'll be the day.
It's okay. Well, then, all right.
Well, no, it's okay. I think we can move it to Sunday. It's fine. I have a bunch of stuff to move.
I mean, Noodle Gun is always good. I mean, Noodle Gun can
actually
always
Noodle
be
Gun
used.
Is pretty evergreen.
Yeah, Noodle Gun is evergreen. I do it, since we were talking about dogs. I do have a Dogs Are People Too moment.
Well, let's finish with that.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to play the jingle again.
Dogs are people too.
Germany started with an idea. What if we could reduce our dog's carbon paw print? Not just this dog, but all 90 million that live in the US. Why not? We're making changes for ourselves and the rest of our family. It makes sense that we'd want to include our furry kids as we rethink how we do things. We realized that the biggest problem is the 36 billion pounds of protein that our pups are eating each year. It's coming from traditional sources like cow and chicken, not sustainable and sadly, rarely humane. So at Jiminy's, we replaced that traditional animal protein with cricket protein.
I mean, come on, man. It's got everything in there, doesn't it? It's got global warming.
Not only that, but
fur babies,
reducing the paw print, the carbon paw print. I'm going to give you a clip of the day for that final clip.
Oh, my goodness. In under the wire, ladies and gentlemen. I cannot believe my luck.
Clip of the day.
Woo! I was saving that the whole time, too. All right. Coming up next on NoAgendaStream.com. What do we have? Rare Encounter, Death by Bananas with Sir Cold Acid and Sir Abel Kirby. Oh, wow. I probably want to check that one out. End of show mixes, Jesse Coy Nelson and Tom Starkweather. And we thank all of the producers of Gitmo Nation and No Agenda Nation for producing episode 1,334 of the best podcast in the universe. I'm coming to you from Austin, Texas. It's the capital of the Drone Star State here in Opportunity Zone 33, where it's starting to look a lot more like San Francisco. More on that perhaps someday. And this is FEMA region number 6. It looks like a FEMA camp. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where it doesn't look like a FEMA camp, and it doesn't look like San Francisco, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We return on Sunday right here with another episode of the No Agenda Show. Please remember us at Dvorak.org/NA. Until next time, adios, mofos and such.
Of course, the pressure is building on Cuomo. He's lashing out now at his critics. He's calling their accusations conspiracy theories.
If you attack my integrity and my administration's integrity, am I going to fail to respond? No.
Instead of addressing the reasons why their office made an attempt to hide and cover up nursing home deaths and give out legal immunity at the peak of the pandemic to nursing homes, he's deflecting, and that's what he does best.
Right.
Sometimes a man who has done very bad things can also do good things. How is he to be judged? Such is one of the dilemmas of life.
With $100 million over 4 years, so the tax revenue that's generated from the cannabis industry, they're estimating it's going to be about $350 million in New York State.
What we gotta do?
Legalize.
Yeah, what we gotta do?
Legalize.
Yeah, what we gotta do?
Legalize.
Gotta put them pussies right in the grave.
Because I got high. Yeah. Because I got high. Yeah. Because I got high. La da da da.
Despite his ongoing scandals, state leaders say they have now reached an agreement with Governor Cuomo to legalize marijuana for people over the age of 21. The bill would expunge criminal records for anyone with a previous marijuana conviction. It would also allow users to grow their own plants at home and allows people to possess up to 3 ounces of cannabis and 24 ounces of cannabis concentrate. If passed and signed by the governor, the legislation would create the Office of Cannabis Management.
Marijuana in your brain takes more time to ejaculate. Roll up a spliff and throws away the day.
First spliff of the day is the best one. I rise with the sun and I don't mean just wake up. I get baked till my eyes get kicked up. Right through the weed just like it was grass. Break me off a knife.
Having a vaccine, we're like part of Satan or the mark of the devil.
That app is now available for download. There's a second version of it for businesses that can download an app that can scan all of your information. That way it can make things easier.
Upload lab results into an app.
Dude, but it's not about the shot. It's about the FACACTA travel card passport.
Right now, the vaccine is going to be working on what's called emergency use authorization.
Would I have to join an app situation?
You would have to download.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't be able to do that.
Well, why don't we add some more information? We already have your COVID status.
See, now, if they don't want to take the vaccine and they want to die, that's their right as Americans. They don't have to take the vaccine and they can die.
You know, how does the government ensure that your data is not shared with, let's say, police, immigration officers, employers? How does the government avoid discriminating against the people who don't yet have access to the vaccine? And
for people have got to understand, vaccination is going to be, in the end, your route to liberty.
And if it's a private stadium or an airline where they're going to simply say, sorry, you can't, you know, use our facility. You can't come here.
You're going out of your way to kill people.
The best podcast in the universe.
Adios, mofo.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Gut check. Stop.